The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
My name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff, I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show, none can come close. Oh, how rude of me, let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the salt in the soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is
PFW in Progress. And Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. And, of course, the big news is that Darrelle Revis is going to the Jets. They gave him a nice deal. A lot of people think it was overpaying. Other people think it's what the market, called for. We'll have all those opinions today. I'm sure people are going to come down on one side or the other. Did the Patriots do whatever was necessary? Obviously not. But did they do? But did they do everything that they felt they could do? And you know, I was talking to Paul earlier. He just thinks the Patriots didn't want Darrelle Revis.
Well, maybe Darrelle Revis didn't really want the Patriots.
Well, that's...
I think that's fact. I don't know about the Patriots side. I think Darrelle Revis, he wanted to go back there last year.
I mean, the more I read now, his heart was in New York. And I think, you know, we were saying before all this came down, you know, if the money's even, he'll come back to the Patriots. I think it's the other way around. Yes. I think if the money was even, he still would have gone to the Jets.
I agree.
You know?
I think you really would have had to buy him out of New York.
Yeah.
And that I don't know why. Because it's not Rex anymore, and the winning is not going to be
involved?
Easy.
I'm serious. Could think that there's somebody in New York that he wants to be close to?
I thought she was in Buffalo now, Mrs. Rex Ryan.
Who knows?
I mean, there was
maybe
Jason
Cole. Like you said, he just likes it there.
Jason
maybe.
Cole wrote that. He just likes it there. He likes the vibe. He likes the restaurants. He likes everything about New York.
It's a quality of life
thing. We got Davio, CBSC. We got Tavolino. We've got...
All the best restaurants are in Providence, Fred.
So it's still closer
if
you're here.
I know. It's only a half hour away.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about all that. I think initially I saw a lot of bridge jumpers. I think that's kind of calmed down now. I think now we're remembering what was said when the Patriots signed him, that this is probably a one-year deal. Maybe they can get him back, but it's probably going to be unlikely. So let's enjoy it while he's here.
And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I think that's all we can do right now. Now we have to move on. Is the Patriots worse off today than they were a week ago? Yeah.
Yes.
Now they have to rebuild. Now they have to get ready for
2015. They have to rebuild a portion of the team. They don't have to rebuild the entire thing.
But they have to now build the team for 2015.
Yes.
And that process is underway. You know, like they've got to bring in, 90 guys for camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they end the season with 60 some odd. So there's a lot of names that we're going to be seeing coming in. Most of them won't be part of the team when September rolls around, but they're going to have to field a training camp squad. So you're going to see a lot of stuff going on. And some of these guys,
now,
like Sheard, who is
Jabal
rumored
Sheard.
To be coming on with the Patriots, will probably have a role.
Well, here's the thing.
Better for $11 million, whatever it is.
Last year... there were two big needs, as we've had been saying, pass rush and secondary. Those were the biggest needs on defense. They addressed the secondary last year. They got Revis, they got Browner. Things worked out. So far, they've let Revis and Browner go. Browner's obviously not gone completely yet, but he's probably going to be.
He's gone.
And now it looks like they've at least started to try to work on the front seven now by signing Sheard. Maybe there were rumors that they're interested in Nick Fairley. There are some other big-name tackles that are out there now, too. So maybe this year the focus will be more on the front seven, the pass rush, instead of the secondary, because they're not going to be able to improve the secondary from what they had.
And you know, I heard Teddy Bruschi on EEI yesterday, and he was saying that when they had Revis, they were able to play a certain style of defense. They're going to have to play a different style of defense this year. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to go into games with a different mindset, because they just won't be able to do it. No matter who they bring in, they're not going to be able to do what they did last year when it came to defensive scheming.
Correct.
So that's where we are. That's where we are. I don't think, you know, I just don't understand fans who have given up on 2015. I don't understand that.
I just know from my perspective, I was looking forward to going to a Super Bowl in San Francisco, and
it's
unfortunate I never will.
It's going to be tougher now.
It's just going to be tougher.
Or a different way of doing it. You know,
you've gone from, in my opinion, if you had retained Revis and you were going to do some other little comings and goings, whatever, you were going to be the favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. The favorite.
Yeah.
You were
ahead
of the pack. Now you're in the pack.
Pack
That's
NFC.
The only difference.
Yep. Yep.
Right? You're with the Colts. You're with the Ravens. You're with whoever makes that big jump and comes out of nowhere to be a contender. You're in a pack of contenders rather than the lead contender.
Absolutely.
That is what has happened.
Absolutely true.
Sure. Yeah,
certainly, you have every bit as good chance to go to your fifth straight AFC title game. But, short sample, when you signed Darrell Revis, you went further than that. You won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I want to make sure people understand, because I'm damn sick and tired of hearing, those who win in March rarely win in January or February. Patriots had arguably the best March a year ago, and then they had the best February to follow it up.
They
won in March
to the Super Bowl.
They won in February. They were directly connected.
But there's also examples of all different variables.
But people say rarely or never. Those two, you know, the Jerry Thorntons of the world mock teams that win in March.
Well,
Patriots won in March and they won in February.
Most of the time, teams who win in March are teams that need more
than
other teams and are not as good as other teams, and so they rarely do.
Correct. Except last year, the Patriots won March and the Patriots won February.
That was an exception. Absolutely.
Okay.
And
now, much like in 2007, the Patriots won March. Didn't work out that they won February, but it was
right.
It was supposed to work out that way.
No, but
actually they didn't win March. They didn't win till April when the draft came around and they made the trade for months.
But they won the spring.
They won March.
They won
too.
The spring. Yeah. But even if they had kept Revis, and what Andy said is true, they would have been considered the favorites and the front runners. It's still historically really difficult to win back to back Super Bowls in this league.
It is.
So
even when
you're the front runner, you're still going to have a hard time getting back there to begin with and winning it all.
The odds are against us.
Even harder when you remove a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely
true. It's happened an awful lot in the history of the NFL.
What's
that? Back to back. It's happened like 8 or 9 times, right?
Yeah, but it's difficult. It's not like...
easier than other sports.
Winning the Super Bowl is difficult.
Right.
So?
So
it's even more difficult when you don't have the best players.
So let's up the level of difficulty.
Right. I'm not saying I wanted them
to.
I'm just saying
it's
not impossible.
It sounds like Paul is coming in thinking that the Patriots screwed up.
No, absolutely not.
Oh.
I'm not saying that at all.
Well, screwed up is not the way to...
Right. That's 100% opposite of how I feel. I don't think the Patriots did anything wrong at all. I think Darrell Revis wanted to go back to the Jets.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the long and short of it. Do we know? I mean, did I talk to Darrell Revis? Did he tell me that? I have no idea what the real story is. But
Darrell Revis told everybody that last night.
My feeling,
it's always been in the back of my mind. This is where my heart was. I wanted to be in New York.
It's certainly making it sound like we said, Paul, before you got here, before we were saying if the money's even, he'll come back to the Patriots. Sounds like now if the money was even, he still would have gone to the Jets.
Yeah, I think that. And I wasn't – I didn't really – I thought he was going to be back. I did. I did think he was going to –
In fact, you ended Tuesday's show with
– So I'll say that – emphatically. I thought he was going to be back, and I was wrong.
But you didn't know this love for the New York that
no,
he
No, I
has.
Did. I knew he loved it and there. Is it he wanted to go back there last year. I thought he would still come back.
Is it a love for New York or a love for the Jets?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
According to Jason Cole, New York is a big part of it.
Manhattan. People say he loves Manhattan. I heard Manish
Mehta,
your boy.
The restaurants. The
right,
whatever.
Loves Manhattan.
Because the Jets have nothing to do with Manhattan.
Right.
No, but he loves Manhattan.
I know that. I'm just
and
saying.
And you know what? I don't fault him for that. If that's where he wants to
either.
Live.
I don't
know. I actually appreciate it.
The Jets don't have anything less to do with Manhattan than the Patriots do with Boston.
Right.
But the Patriots don't call themselves the Boston Patriots.
No, I understand that.
And the Jets don't call themselves the Manhattan Jets.
They should, but they don't. But
hello! They call themselves the New York Jets.
They're not even playing in the state of New York.
So I see what happens. My fault. Scratch the whole thing. I see.
The news is we got Cheeky Chumbaba.
Listen, we said it before.
Chimdi Chekwa.
Rarely does a player
press
have
cover. Press
and,
man
and
cover.
Use the leverage that Revis has had. One, he's the best at his position and just was able to be paid that way for throughout his career. Unbelievable leverage. He plays it to the hilt. He is where he wants to be. You can't fault him.
Oh, I don't fault Revis at all.
Yeah,
I hear a lot of people, you know, he chose money over winning. First of all, he won. Very rarely do you hear like, oh, the guy didn't win three Super Bowls. He has a Super Bowl ring, so he's never going to be on the list of greatest players to never win a Super Bowl or any of those stupid discussions. He's a Hall of Fame talent who won a Super Bowl and who, whatever the number is, if he plays the contract out, will have made $150 million in his career. He's won.
I mean, you can call him a mercenary if you want, but the Patriots were more than happy to pay for his services.
Right. They used each other last year.
Right.
I'm fine with that.
Right.
It's like a prostitution
It worked out
deal.
For both of them.
So
it
I
worked
think,
out for both,
I think,
both sides.
I think for Patriots Nation, those of you who are listening on a ledge, get off. We got what we wanted last year.
Get off the ledge.
We basically got the best cornerback in the league for $12 million and a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it worked.
Let's be happy with that and move on.
Absolutely.
So just to summarize, everybody would say, if I told you they were going to win the Super Bowl with Darrell Revis for 1 year,
the 30
then, he would,
for 30.
Then he would go, great, right?
Yeah.
Everybody great, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, there is our favorite member of the organization who says he's not sure he would sign up for it.
Who's that?
He's unhappy about it.
The guy who doesn't wear
the
socks?
The effing moron.
The guy who doesn't wear socks.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
That is
consider
it's
the
beyond
source.
Crazy.
Consider the source.
Taking
stupid,
into consideration how hard it is to win a Super Bowl. I mean,
wait, what's his reasoning? Do we need to call him down here?
No.
This is ridiculous.
No.
I think they're busy because I just got finished taping. I know that's
plus
not the last.
It's an all-access
He can't
weekend.
Possibly say anything that would make any sense or convince us otherwise.
No. He wasn't like ranting and raving emphatic about it, but I think there's something about it that rubbed him the wrong way in terms of we're just like everybody else. We kind of bought a title.
Well, that's
so?
That's the way.
Oh, that's what I said.
We are just like everybody else because you try to win,
right?
And
of course,
you seek all
you
avenues to win.
That's right.
I mean,
I have nothing. I have nothing further
short,
to say.
Short
isn't,
of
isn't he the same type of person that says, obviously. "Hey, Brady's window's closing. You got to do what you have to do." Right?
Talk about what you have to do.
So in 2014,
they did what they had to do.
Now we're going to deal with 2015, and we'll see what we can do for 2015.
It sounds like he might have had some hurt feelings.
Really?
As maybe. a fan.
I know I owe somebody $5 because I was in a pool down there.
You and I owe Andy $5.
Okay.
Maybe he's like me and he just wanted
get,
to cover a Super Bowl
that
in San Francisco.
July when I have money.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm disappointed. I wanted to go to San Francisco.
You will go to San Francisco next year for the Super Bowl. Damn it.
Mister, they never win it again anytime soon.
I know,
suddenly
the
is on
board. Wide open.
Now we're defending titles without Hall of Famers.
No, because he's being so emphatic about that. They're not going to do it.
I know.
It's a little bit of
shit. Doesn't that bother you?
It does.
So when you said it, it bothered me.
It's a little
but,
bit of shit,
but that was then,
I do
Fred.
Believe it.
That was then, Fred.
I know.
I'm disappointed.
I mean,
I
if
thought
I had
we
to
were
say,
going into this season, Fred Kirsch, balls out. We are the champions. You got to beat us.
Highway to L.
Highway to L. All
it's
of that
still
crap.
Still the highway to L.
Yeah.
Oh, come
not
on.
Not today it's
Only
not.
Only the L is for loser now.
Not today it's not. Now, I fully understand.
right
have,
now they don't have a secondary.
We have a whole rest
fine.
Of the free agency period. We have a whole draft. A lot of things can change.
Malcolm Butler can start on one side.
No,
maybe.
I'm not ready to say today that they're done because I don't know what the roster is going to look like. But based on what you have right now,
you're worse at
corner. You're not going to the Super Bowl.
I know for a fact you'll be worse at corner to start the year. That's a fact.
Yeah, you can't argue with that.
Breaking news, Patriots trade for Richard Sherman or something stupid.
Right. No.
I didn't think Jimmy Graham would be playing for the Seahawks this year.
We made one of those rare three-way trades where Patrick Peterson and Richard Sherman were traded to the Patriots. Patriots traded Tim DeChicco back to Arizona.
No, the league rules that the Jets did tamper and we get Revis back.
I keep thinking of Dick Van Dyke singing Chim Chimini, Chim Chimini, Chim Chim Chiri.
I'm just going to say Tim DeChicco as many times as I can.
Andy's right. No matter what happens from this point on in 2015, the corners won't be as good.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Will you be as good a team to start the year?
And we don't know the answer
to be determined.
That.
That's to be determined. Yeah. But now, right now, I would say no, but that's to be determined.
I don't see any way that I am going to think you're a better team to
Glenn
start
Ordway
the year.
Says, that's a stupid question.
You don't see there's any way that there's a better team?
I'm looking at what I think is out there and available and likely. And I mean, do you?
Well, let's say that, okay, let's say they get Nick Fairley. Let's say they pick up, you know, a second-tier cornerback and plug him in there. Let's say that
What's your version of a second-tier quarterback cornerback? Because I don't see too many of them available.
Well, who's the guy that they're talking about with the funny name?
Chim DeChicco.
He's not a second-tier quarterback.
He is 18th tier.
Really? He's
not that good? Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
they
no.
signed him, by the way. Well, according to the Twitter machine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reports.
He's been...
Nothing's been announced yet.
He's started four games. He's been injured a lot. Yeah. Only appeared in 32 games over 4 years.
He's more of a special teams player.
Who was the guy that they were looking at that was a high draft pick but really hasn't panned out yet? There was another guy they were looking at. I forget.
At corner?
Yeah, I was reading it this morning.
I have no idea.
I had heard something about Chris Culliver, but I haven't seen anything followed up on that.
He followed me on Twitter like 3 years ago.
Chris Culliver?
Yeah.
You guys are similar.
All right.
He's such an ass.
So let's say they bring in Fairley.
No, he was the opposite end of that. He wouldn't follow you. He wouldn't like you.
I didn't want to say it out loud.
I stepped on my own line.
Because he gets way more mad at me than he does you.
Let's say they bring in Fairley. Let's say they sign somebody like Reggie Bush or C.J. Spiller.
Yeah.
You know, to replace Vereen, which I think right there is an upgrade. I think Fairley, in this point of his career, is an upgrade over Will Fork.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you can sell me on that.
Could sell me on that, but he's a different kind of player.
And, yeah, he is.
And if you're looking at the team, it's not just is he an upgrade over Will Fork, it's is Fairley and we'll use this guy for an example, even though he's not playing.
Chim DeChicco
an upgrade over Revis and Will Fork. No.
Okay, let's say Easley comes back with a clean bill of health. Let's say that the Sheard guy is able to rotate in with Ninkovich and Jones and you know, maybe, you know, it allows them to do some different things with Ninkovich and or Jones.
I'm interested to see what he has.
I do think that's what Sheard is. I like that signing.
Oh, that's what he is, but is he better than Ayers?
Yeah.
You got a little something out of Ayers.
So, I think he's better
so
than
right
Ayers.
Now,
I think he's light years better than Ayers, but until I see it, I don't know.
He better be better than Ayers for what you paid him.
Yeah.
So just in those early things, we've done some good things in the team. We still have to talk about the secondary. Ooh,
wait a minute. Time out. Time the freak out.
What?
You gave them credit for signing Reggie Bush. You gave them credit for signing Nick Fairley.
They
haven't done that.
Much of a shot at Nick Fairley. I think Reggie Bush is a legitimate shot because we've talked about it the whole time.
Right.
Money that's going to cost
some of the ladies in the organization are madly in love with him.
And here's the other point I'd like to make, and you guys can jump down my throat if you want. But just as we were saying a year ago, this is probably a one-year deal. I think that Belichick was... if not believing that, planning for that, having a plan, you know, in case it was, because I think he saw the same thing we did. It's probably unlikely, you know, we're going to be able to pay what this guy is going to want after this first year.
There's certainly no evidence of that.
No evidence?
There's no evidence that he had a plan at cornerback to replace Brown.
Oh, I didn't say it. No. You're right. I didn't say a cornerback, but I mean to just...
And there's no evidence anywhere.
To make up for it on team, you know...
Eric's right. They can invest more in the pass rush in the front seven. Jabal Sheard is not that. That would be Sue. They went out and got Sue. 1 year after getting Revis, they said, we're going all in on the front seven this time, and we got an impact player. Sheard is a... you hope he becomes more than what he's been of late.
Well, and I also... you know, but getting back to what I was saying, with Belichick, you know, all right, Nick... you know, Mr. Kraft, if we don't get Revis, this is probably what we're going to have to do on defense. And it's going to be more of a front seven-centric type of scheme. And that's probably, like Eric said, what the, you know, the moves you see are probably going to be along those lines. Now, in the draft, we don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe
they
take
in the draft, too.
Now, we know that they haven't had a good luck drafting
corners.
Corners or safeties. Well, you know, really early in the draft, but
correct.
Maybe, you know, that won't stop them from doing it because, you know, they continue to draft, you know, right. tight they, ends until they found that golden nugget.
Yep. That's the best option at this point, in my opinion, is you draft a cornerback who can play. And you get your McCourty year one. You get what a lot of other teams have gotten out of first-round corners.
Well, you think it is you not can get one at 32, say, though?
Yeah.
You know, oh, maybe yeah. Amendola.
I'm not saying it's a lock. NFL Draft Scout, our guys, have one guy rated pure first-round corner, and I think five rated as one-twos. So a pool of, say, six guys that you could be, well, right. probably subtract one. The other five
and,
might
and
be available
Amendola
at 32.
And maybe Amendola is a guy that they're holding in their hip pocket to move up five or six spots
right.
if they see that guy that they want.
But it's not ridiculous. I mean, good corners go in the first round. You know, Hayden,
right.
Sherman is an outlier, but Peterson, Revis, Law, Bailey, whoever you want to go back to, a lot of good corners are drafted in the first round.
D. Milner.
And when the Patriots have drafted a corner in the first round... Oh. For 1 year, anyway, he was a Pro Bowl corner.
Right.
So to say they could get a Pro Bowl corner in the first round isn't ridiculous.
No, it's not.
At all.
Yeah.
No, and a guy like... You know,
I think it's more likely than any of these other scenarios.
And we already talked about Marcus Peters
yes.
on the show. But a guy like that is probably going to be available at the end of the first round because of the off-field stuff. And the off-field stuff wasn't, you know, violence against women or anything like that that would necessarily preclude you from signing right. him, or from drafting him. So at the end of the first round, you might want to... You might be more willing to take a chance on a guy like that because it's not the stuff that's going to make a bad impression on your fan base. It's a football thing, and that's you might want to take a chance there. Whereas maybe someone doesn't want to take a chance at 20. They might need a player. There might be talent there. To Andy's point, could you see a guy like that come in and pick off five or six passes in his rookie year? I could see something like that happening.
We saw McCourty do it.
Right.
You know,
my point. The last
right.
time they did that,
right.
it worked for a year.
Right.
Now, the rest of that story is a little jumbled.
And what I don't know is, does he pick off the five or six passes like McCourty, who was really good that year?
Yeah, or Logan Ryan.
You know, the ball just hits him in the chest five or six
like
times.
Logan Ryan.
And he gives up 85 other completions.
But the flip side of that is also, let's look at the Jets most recently. D. Milner and Kyle Wilson, they drafted as first-round corners. You got nothing out of them.
Yeah.
Well, right. Milner showed some signs. Kyle Wilson has been sort of average at best the
right.
whole time. So, yeah, there's no sure things. Milner, I think they really thought was going to have that year last year, and then he blew out, I think, his Achilles.
So we'll look at the moves that the Patriots do from here on in with a critical eye because, you know, right now we're at a disadvantage from where we were last year. But, you know, there's still a lot of personnel and moves and drafting to do before we say, oh, they don't have a chance.
And I think something that also magnifies it a little bit, minimally, but in the first couple days here, is everybody in the East theoretically got better.
I think so.
The mm-hmm. Indianapolis Colts, the team you played in the AFC title game,
yeah.
theoretically got better.
Yep.
And the Seattle Seahawks, the team you played in the Super Bowl, certainly got better. I think they upgraded their cornerback with Kerry Williams, and they certainly upgraded their offense with Jimmy Graham. So all of your main competitors along the way to defend your title look like they've gotten better, and you've gotten worse.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, how can you argue with that?
I don't know. I say that with a lot of things, but you often argue.
No, but when you're right, you're right.
I am.
When you're wrong, I tell you.
I'm never.
No. You're never,
you
that's
know,
for sure.
Earlier you said something about Andy was right, and you paused, and I'm thinking to myself, Andy's thinking right now, you don't have to say anything else. Just leave it at that.
All right, web radio.
We should reset, though. I mean, there are other issues.
What's our food situation? Well,
there isn't.
Oh, that's right. Me and you, Paul, I guess we're on our own.
Me, you, food? No.
But let me give out the
credit card number.
The 411. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. You wanted a reset?
Well, there have been a lot of minor moves surrounding Revis.
Sure, a lot of receivers coming in.
You added Gibson, Brandon Gibson, who is a nice little,
nice
40-catch receiver for both St. Louis and Miami,
mm-hmm.
who I certainly think could not make the team or could have a nice 40-catch season for the Patriots.
Was he the guy that was catching those bombs from a couple of years ago? There was like a few.
No. I thought he caught
on
a bomb
Rams?
On us, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
No. I thought 4 years ago
Givens.
Or whatever it was.
I believe that was Chris Givens.
Chris Givens.
But
good
anyway,
job,
he's
more of a slot
a fine
type.
Little pass catcher blah, guy. James Devlin's back. Big news, most important news of the offseason. Bunch of the other
guys. If we're
going to
reset,
back.
Reset.
Yeah, there's the
Chris
guy,
White is back. Does not have a $250,000 workout bonus.
The other receiver,
laughing out loud.
Dorsey. Dorsey, the wide receiver from Green Bay.
Yes, Dorsey.
Who's the first name? I can't.
Kevin, I think.
Kevin.
Yeah, I think Kevin, yeah.
We lose Revis and we sign. I think the guy's name is Kevin. I think it's Chimdi Chikwa.
I got to be honest with you, and I know, like, I always say, like, I would be like Bill, and I wouldn't really care what other – you know how I always say the fans are stupid. I wouldn't care. There's got to be some ounce of PR in you, though. Like, I wouldn't have put that release out yesterday. Like, I know I already signed them. I'd wait like 4 days before I sent that release out.
Yeah.
The best player they've signed is Jabal Sheard.
Yep.
Scott Chandler got released from the Bills. Yeah. Any interest?
No.
No.
Not really?
Really?
They need a blocking tight end.
He's not
that.
Okay.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't totally dismiss that.
I wouldn't either.
Guy who was given Belichick headaches.
That's the one check in his column.
You know?
Yeah.
That's something that,
he can
that
get
I think
open
they would
and he can catch the ball. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of important.
No, he says that about his receivers.
I know. We'll
he
upset.
Might want this guy to
we'll
block.
Upset.
Yeah, I want my. That's not my job description for the backup tight end is not getting opening and catching the ball. It's blocking.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little bit intrigued by him.
I am too.
Great. Yeah.
Another weapon for Brady.
Yeah, why not?
That'll put us over the top.
Paul, I know it'll upset
San Francisco trees.
Terribly the guy who thinks that, you know, Who-Man has the best hands in the NFL.
That is true. See, we got that again yesterday?
No.
What's the status of the Who-Man? Not going to let him go. Are we best hands in the NFL?
By the way, Vollmer wasn't traded.
Who said he was?
Nobody.
Oh.
I thought he was going to be. But I believe yesterday he picked up a bonus, so, like, it's less likely that he's going to be traded. So, apparently we're just going to have Cannon as an overpaid backup.
Well, you know what? I'd rather he be a backup, though, even if he's overpaid, than force feed him into the starting lineup.
I'd rather he play for another team and not waste the money.
Yes. Of course, I'm with you there. But if he's going to be on the roster, I'd rather that's where he is, on
we
the sideline.
We've got holes to fill. We don't have a ton of money. These guys are just having a conversation about lunch in the
that's
background.
Fine.
I mean, there's holes to fill.
I have unbelievable static in my headphones today. It's
I
really
do, too.
Distracting.
I have too.
Hopefully listeners don't. Mine's crystal clear as long as I plug in someone else's thing.
that's what I used to do. I used to do it in...
But mine's been acting
up lately. I used to put mine in Eric's hole.
Oh, hey, whoa.
Who hasn't? I mean, not me, but a lot of people have.
He's so quick to point out. You're right.
Fred is so befuddled. He can't order lunch and
you're
continue
an A-gap.
The show. He's
I can't
eat
it. Fred
he doesn't know how to think.
Now.
He doesn't know where to go.
I got emails coming in. I got a food order. I got cash, credit cards, phone calls.
Okay, so run the show.
Take the same.
All right.
I just sent you an email. I need you to do me a favor. You can check that out.
Talking to
you go.
All right. So should we get into it? Should we get into what the fans are
saying? Off with your head.
Can we do a quick? Where are we?
Are
going
we resetting
with
again?
James no, I want to know where we're going with calls and emails. Where do we foresee this going right now?
I think people are going to be upset.
I think people are.
Have you not taken any?
They're going to be upset.
Any fan reaction yet?
Nope. We are.
I
want
to. No. Before we hit it again. Can we recall on Tuesday what we deemed to be an overpay?
Oh, yeah. They didn't reach it. They underpaid.
Okay. Can we all agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we can go to the
and
fans.
And what was it? $40 million?
No.
We all had different. There was $18 million a year. Some people said was the line they weren't going to be willing to cross. And
right. But
things.
People were up around $50 million in guarantees.
I don't believe anybody would have felt this contract that he received was an overpay.
I don't think so.
But no. I think that you're starting to hear that a little bit on the local
Well,
sports
well I
shows.
Hear the way it was structured was an over.
You can structure a contract any way you want.
No,
he
but,
was not a restricted
but you had
free
to,
agent.
You had to structure it the way he wanted.
No, you didn't. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You think that
I've heard so many
stupid
people.
You think that my guaranteed money is not as good as your guaranteed money?
No, no. Worse than that. You think if I handed him a check for $30 million today, he would rather have
Who?
Spread out
to
over
Marco
years?
Murray.
No, yeah. I know, but if the Patriots weren't willing to do if the Patriots wanted roster bonuses and stuff that
oh,
would
but
get
that's
them
different.
Out.
That's different. If you would have matched guaranteed money but said I can't do it the way they're doing it, we'll do it this way, he would have been fine with it. Maybe.
But, as long as it was guaranteed.
Right. You're talking about adding
not
non-guaranteed
fake,
money.
Yeah, not fake guaranteed.
That's not the same thing.
Well,
but
yeah.
I've heard people say, I'm sure the Patriots would have been willing to give him more guaranteed up front. I don't know if he would do that. Hello? He wouldn't take a check that was bigger?
Right.
That's one of the dumber things I've ever heard.
No, but the Patriots may not have been. I'm sure this came down to, look, the Patriots had their number. They weren't going to go over it. And then they also realized that no matter what we do, the Jets are going to outbid us.
That's what I think. You know, I think I was right all along, and I think the reports were right. He called the Jets last year. He wanted to go there last year. Idzik didn't want him. Idzik is gone, so he was a Patriot for now for 8 months. Right. And that's just the everybody. He was relatively open with it. Everybody was
pains me
open.
To say it, but I think Andy's right.
Yeah, we basically
a big show for Andy.
Except for his whole for now thing, I think all the rest of it is right.
Yeah, we basically went out with the girl until she went back to her other boyfriend.
Right.
You know?
But boy, well, was the sex good while it lasted.
Right, it was great.
See, that's the way
great.
I look at it, but I think that it's the way Matt is looking at it is the way Fred sort of, the voice that you had, like, you know, we went out with the, you know, and then she went back
to and
her,
the problem
her
is,
boyfriend.
All future sex is going to pale in comparison.
Well, you know, we'll see.
Sex is different.
Oh, wow. All right. All right. Let's get to the phones. Did we place the food order? Because that's more important. Are we all set there, Paul?
I think he and I are getting along really well. He has to go and ruin things.
This is what we do.
Let's get to
you guys were getting along. What happened?
Quick, one more reset.
DeMarco Murray, by the way.
Yeah, he went to the Eagles.
Did
That's final.
So
according to Shefty.
Yeah, it sounds like.
So that is final. But did
the real chef.
Matthews pull his agreement?
I don't know.
Because there were Ryan Matthews was going there but had not signed it, and there were some who thought he was waiting and didn't want to go there with Murray, and if Murray did go there, he was going to not sign it.
Mm.
That would be the second running back because Frank Gore was originally supposedly going there.
There was a funny – I don't know if it was a Photoshop or – you know, the Philadelphia papers are a lot like the New York papers, the tabloids.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had the Eagles free agents arrive, and they had a picture of an ambulance coming into Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, that was the big talk yesterday of the press conference. I actually watched that press conference, and he was talking about how, well, if guys are available, it's usually one of two reasons. They have injury issues or money issues. That's how guys become available. And, you know, there's plenty of guys, and he listed Brady and Drew Brees, and, you know, a lot of teams passed on Drew Brees because he was injury issues, but he turned that franchise around and blah, blah, blah. Like, that was a whole topic in his press conference.
Yeah, he had a very interesting press conference yesterday.
I didn't see any of it,
but
I heard
it was very good. It was, you know, basically Jeffrey Lurie, he blames or pushes everything to Jeffrey Lurie for all their front office shakeup. We meet every year, and I give him a vision of mine, and then he makes decisions, and he made that decision, and they asked him, well, a week before he said that Howie Roseman was the GM and he was staying in that role, and then you talked to him about your vision, so what did you say? No, that was all him, and I'm like, no, it wasn't. He said Sam Bradford is there to stay. He's not a chip to be traded. He's the only chip in the building. But they did get a first-round pick offered yesterday morning.
Well, going back to what you said, though, about Roseman and Kelly Smart, though, because ultimately nothing happens unless Lurie says it's okay.
Right.
So he's smart to, you know, keep the owner as the boss.
And he didn't move his office, the Roseman's office.
Yeah.
He does. I don't have where people's desks are isn't my issue, blah, blah, blah. They moved, you know, and he listed names. They moved Jane. They moved Joe. And I mean, you could go bowling in that area of the building now. They cleared it out. I've got nothing to do with that.
Bit of Patriots news on the Ooh. Twitter machine from Mike Garofalo. Garofalo. I'm not really sure how
he's a good Garofalo
name.
On Twitter.
Patriots restructured Danny Amendola's contract so he could remain with the team, source says.
Oh, nice.
Hmm. Eh. Any details?
No.
That still doesn't rule him out as trade bait, right? You could still trade him.
Sure.
No, but I don't see why you would want to trade him if you thought enough to restructure his contract.
Well, you do that
to make
now,
it palatable for somebody else.
Or you know,
depending on what the restructure is.
You get that done, but if, like we said, if it took a Danny Amendola to move up five spots to get a good cornerback,
it wouldn't. It's never going to take a Danny Amendola to do anything.
What?
You trade Danny Amendola to move up what?
Five spots or something?
He thinks he's going to get from 32 to 27
for Danny Amendola. Oh, hell.
And
no.
Your pick.
Okay. I got your proposal.
What, you don't think any team would do that?
Amendola?
Yeah.
No.
I think Danny Amendola and your pick might get you to 35.
I'm not going to be disrespectful like Andy, but no, I don't think you can move up five spots for giving someone
a lot of your Boston reporters receiver. Are very happy to hear that Danny Amendola staying in town.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad.
Some New York
like
ones
him.
As well.
I like him.
Oh, yeah, I guess technically.
Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all?
At least one New York.
Hey.
Man, okay, moving on from the Revis conversation, I guess. Although that's a big hit, you still got to think, too. I mean, I guess we have to address this anyway, but you got to think about okay, I didn't think Browner was all that good, but he's sure, you know, better than a lot of options that we get,
yes.
I would say.
Yes.
So you got to keep Browner. Okay, since that's an issue now, and even Dennis. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know about Dennis.
Yeah,
it's weird. Paul and I were talking about this yesterday because I did, you know, you go down the list of guys that are on the roster at corner right now, and if you made me pick one to be my starting corner, I would pick Dennard. Except I don't think they would pick Dennard.
Well, he was the guy they picked last year.
Right.
To be their starter before Browner got eligible.
I don't think he is the guy or one of the guys.
Can I interrupt you guys for 1 second to get back to Amendola? According to Schefter, it's a three-year new deal for Amendola worth 12.75 with a max of 15.
Okay.
Did he have 3 years left?
He signed a five-year, right?
Yeah. He had three years left, so it was a... In some ways, a restructure of the existing deal.
Right. That's what Schefter wrote. Restructured deal. Mm-hmm.
With
per source.
With about $2 million in incentives, I guess.
Okay. Just the last point I was going to make was that if we do have, okay, now Reeves gone, Browner gone, dinner situation ugly, and we're flirting around with Arrington and Logan Ryan, I mean, now you really had a look. I was just thinking, you know, you got to load up on offense or something and, you know, just hope for the best. But it's really going to be kind of crazy because we went from 2004, a solid overall team that could beat you either way. So now me just thinking, all right, well, look, Tom Brady, you know, I'm going to give you another weapon here and you got to outscore people. And our defense is just going to have to get back to turnovers and, I mean, just trying to, you know, get out a couple of times to get the offense the ball as much as possible.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Thanks, Melvin.
Did he say give Tom Brady another weapon?
We're going to give you some more weapons, and you're going to have to just outscore people.
Did we give him more weapons yet?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
No.
No, I think we're talking about, Reggie Bush and stuff like that. And we might be able to get an explanation for the irrationality that I told you about earlier.
Why would you want to win the Super Bowl?
Don't be disrespectful to our guest.
For Christ's sakes.
All right, let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, Andy.
Yes.
You stole my thunder, man. You stole my thunder.
Andy and Eldridge are usually, eye to eye.
You'll be butting heads, but no, you'll be butting heads. But
that's Andy, right.
It's like this, man. I'm looking at Ryan, Arrington, Dinner, and I'm like, okay, here we go again. We might not even win the East because I'm telling you this now.
Oh,
if they're bringing McCarty back over, and then Revis, and then they got Shrine. Now you got Marshall on one side and Decker.
Screen. But, sorry.
No, Decker. You got Decker. Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now you bring in Chris Patrick, who knows what you call offense a little bit. Chan Gailey.
Yeah, he played for Chan Gailey and had his best year for him.
Best year, right. Now, Geno almost beat our butt twice this year. So, you know, they upgrade. They already had a front seven. Now they got a back end to go with the front seven.
Wait, but you lost a Rex, and a Rex was a key equation to giving the Patriots problems.
Mm-hmm.
But I will agree that both the Bills and the Jets are built very similarly. They don't have a quarterback. They have a defensive coach with a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
They could give you problems, and they have some weapons on offense. They're very similar teams.
Yeah, but what I'm saying about Bill is, okay, even though you might have saw this coming, if Reeves had to win, because it's the same thing with $16 million for 3 years, that's just guaranteed money, whatever. But you had to have a plan in place, because we don't have a pass rush nor a secondary now. And I saw on the feed that Vince trying to come back on a lesser deal. Have y'all seen that?
He's trying to come back. I didn't.
The who?
I heard he's still in play, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's supposedly still in play.
Yeah.
Eric, you said
Vince?
There's three
Thanks,
AFC
Eldridge.
Teams with basically the same offer.
Yeah, supposedly he's been offered a 2-year deal for $10 million by three different AFC teams. They weren't specified which teams those were, but it seems a little fishy that all three had the exact same offer.
And it would. I mean, if you were going to assume, it's the Texans, the Colts, and the Patriots.
Oh, I can't assume the Patriots offered him that much.
But I haven't seen. Has he been connected to anyone else?
I hadn't seen other than the Colts and the Texans.
Right.
Yeah, those are the only two that I saw.
And I know a lot of people think he's coming back. I don't think he is, but.
Well, not if that. And I actually talked to our guest about this very thing shortly, a little time ago. If that's a real offer, 2-10, I don't think there's any chance he's coming back. I don't think.
It might not be real. They could all have the same fake offer.
Can we bring our guest in now? Because I really want to hear.
Well, he
the
actually said
Matty
if
no
he
Sox
knew you
Smith.
Were going to draft Vince 21st and win two Super Bowls in 11 years, he wouldn't do it.
No, he would have done that because that's long term.
Oh, okay.
Matty No Sox Smith is here.
So I think that's why I have to come in here, because people like Andy extrapolate what you say and misconstrue it. And
then, I did not, did I?
Then it gets misinterpreted, and okay. So you have to make sure.
I didn't
sure,
take okay, you out of content,
right.
Did I?
So I don't know.
Feel all right,
free
what did
to
you
clarify.
Say?
Your stance, because so, I want to hear what you said first.
No, I'm going to give you the question. Right. I want you to give the answer, and then you guys can tell me if I mischaracterized it. The question is, if you knew when you signed Revis that you were only going to have him for a year and you'd win the Super Bowl, would you be okay with that? The four of us are okay with that.
In the vast majority, probably 99.9% of people. And all I said was, I think I'd have to think about it, and I might sign up for not doing it. And that, of course, was met with guffaws,
yes,
and everything like that.
No,
and
but then, so then I asked you to explain.
What was the rationale?
We had a conversation
right.
about this.
You're right. And so my explanation of it is
what was the
not
irrationale?
Unlike,
irrationale.
Not unlike, at the risk of sounding like the company guy, is not unlike what the owner said on Radio Row last year in New York when he was asked the same question, would you rather load up like Baltimore did and win it? And he goes, and then they don't make the playoffs the next year? And I think that.
But that's not the question.
But yeah. See, Matt,
no, it is
you didn't load up
thing.
For Darrell Revis. Yeah. Right. You paid him $12 million.
Right. Right. Here's the thing.
But they did load up last year?
They didn't know.
They did load up last year.
I think they did.
I do too.
No,
but I don't think.
So you're talking
but
two different
I,
things.
And what I strongly disagreed with what the owner said, and I said it at the time, is that loading up and winning a title does not preclude you from being able to do so the following
year.
That's your choice.
Things.
Exactly.
That's your choice next year, what you
might.
Want to do the next year.
It
my
might,
concern
but this
is
not
that,
an example of
my
no.
concern is with my concern is without Revis, I'm not going to go so far as to think I know Paul well, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I know there's a prevailing opinion that there's run of tomato cans happens next year, they win the AFC East, they'll host a game in the division around. But I think without Revis, he was that important to the defense this year. I think we're going back, the Patriots are going back to real struggles against the pass, and who knows what that, and an improved division.
But the issue is, the last time you really had that, you went to a Super Bowl. Now, the offense was different, the team was different, but the last time you had tomato cans playing corner, you went to a Super Bowl in 11.
Yeah, right? And you came a Hail Mary's whisker
now,
away from
you
winning.
You did it, and back in that era, we were counting 20-yard plays allowed by the opposition as we did it. And we were lamenting Jag quarterbacks throwing mm-hmm. for 370.
Does yep. anybody think the Patriots were, even though they were on the field in the Super Bowl, do you think that they were the best team in the AFC or even possibly one of the best teams in the league that year?
It doesn't matter.
Well, I think they were one of the best
yes,
teams.
Yes, they were
one of
the best
teams,
teams in the
AFC. I don't think they were one of the best teams in the league. I don't think they were anywhere near
see,
as
I don't
close
care,
to winning.
Though, really.
But, yeah, but the fact is they got there.
If you get
the
like,
fact, the
do
fact
I think
is they got
the best
there.
Team
Eric
this
just said
year,
it.
I don't know. I think Seattle should have won the game.
Who cares about
but
the
you
style
won the
points.
Title.
They had a weakness, and they were able to cover it up for
right.
most of the year. And,
but
you
know, my
offense was better because you had more weapons. That would be part of my argument. And we haven't upgraded the offense at all in this little theory of Tom. We'll give you more weapons. I don't see the offense
see, my,
being
my
better.
Point would be.
Well, it doesn't really need to get that much better except for the offensive line.
Well, and the question of do you count
that.
On Gronk being healthy all year
games.
Again? Because if I'm going to use recent history, you won with
Gronk.
Yeah,
sure, but that you go into every season now with Gronk thinking that. So I mean,
right? But I would feel better if I went into that with
Revis.
Whoever. You know, I traded for Jimmy Graham yesterday.
Well, again, we're in March.
Or Revis.
You know,
example.
Maybe
right.
a Reggie Bush.
So
comes
I don't have to worry
in.
About
maybe
scoring
a CJ
35.
Spiller comes in. You know, I don't know. You know,
I guess here's my bigger point about it. I don't think it's an outlandish question. I don't think it's an outlandish position to say I'm not sure I'd sign up for. I understand that. Winning is cures all ills,
but Matt,
winning the Super Bowl at any cost is, I guess, okay.
But there was no cost.
But yeah, but Matt, see, here's the
what
thing.
What was the cost?
And that's the thing. We're
that's
talking
my
about
question.
Two different things. There's loading up that puts you in a bad position down the road.
Right, and Baltimore. And Baltimore didn't do that.
If you want to call it loading up, what the Patriots did, that did not put them in a bad financial position down the road. It didn't.
Okay.
They basically played $12 million for the best cornerback in
right.
the league.
Right.
Is there dead money or something
well,
associated with
it? It's actually $17.
Okay.
So, yeah, well, the five that they're going to have
right.
to pay this year.
Well,
there's money that's
that.
Going
to – You would certainly count it if Baltimore
sure,
did it.
Yeah.
You would right, cross but, your but, finger at it and say naughty, naughty
it,
on the count.
Is it prohibitive?
I mean, it's not prohibitive.
It's not. Much but, like it had nothing to do with Baltimore not making the playoffs the following year.
Why are right. we talking about Baltimore? I missed the Baltimore
because Matt made the comment that
Mr. Kraft at Radio Row at the Super Bowl last year, or as you and I might say, last year.
Okay.
Okay. He made the comment with Felger and Maz that, do you want to be in a situation like Baltimore where you win the Super Bowl and don't make the playoffs the following year? As if those two were correlated. They had nothing to do with one another.
Right.
There was an older veteran team that had a couple of key members retire, thus putting some younger guys in bigger spots, and they went 8-8. And by the way,
they were
a year later,
the
they were right
year.
Back there
exactly.
in a whisker away from advancing in the divisional playoffs to get to the conference title game.
Yeah.
I would boil it down to even less than that.
It had nothing
I'd say
to do with
their
style.
If my quarterback played like my quarterback, I might have gone the next year. My quarterback went from playing like Tom Brady to playing like E.J. Manuel.
But I agree with you, Andy. I think that's the bigger
that's
point.
Almost
and you know, I have
as can
you
be.
Know, I have the unnatural affection for Flacco. That's what it all boiled down
yeah.
to. Flacco didn't play well in 2013. But my point is, even if you wanted to take it to the level where Mr. Kraft took it, he's ignoring the fact that the guys they lost had nothing to do with cap. They lost guys because they retired. I mean, there's a natural attrition to every team. Bill says that all the time. Every year there's turnover in the National Football League. Some guys you're able to retain. They weren't able to retain Torrey Smith this year.
Did they not prepare themselves for those guys retiring?
They were. My point is they were every bit as good the year after they won the Super Bowl.
But that's
matter
a
fact,
different question.
They had
too.
A much better defense the year after they won the Super Bowl.
I think his bigger point is loading up doesn't guarantee you winning. And
nothing guarantees you winning.
And it may not have been in the Baltimore case, but it can hurt you down the road.
Sure.
It can.
Know?
I
right.
don't think there are
but
very many examples in the last 10 or 12 years of teams loading up. Now, the Saints, you can make an argument. They've done some things that they've gotten themselves in bad spots. But I also am pretty intrigued right now for all of the things that they quote-unquote had to do because they were in cap hell. They seem to be involved in a lot of these guys right now. They evidently offered Bronner like $5 million a year.
Yeah, but even Drew Brees, and I think they're
C.J. Spiller evidently
GM
is
was on the radio
ready to sign there, too.
Sirius saying, you know, it's been really tight around here the last few years because of the cap. They said they haven't been able to do a lot of things.
But one of the issues, I mean, they didn't load up. They
said
people,
that.
But they had to pay people.
Well, yeah, but
I don't consider it loading up if you re-sign Drew Brees.
Listen,
if
this
you
whole
re-sign
loading
Jimmy
up thing
Graham.
Is nonsense anyway. I think every team within its means tries to do everything it can every year to win a Super Bowl. And some teams can do more than others in given years and have opportunities to do things, you know, that they can't. And you know, getting Randy Moss for a fourth-round pick, you know, that wasn't overextending. That wasn't
right.
going all in. You know, it didn't require a huge financial investment to get Randy Moss.
Right.
But people still put that in the going all in category.
Yeah, but if you couple Moss with trading for Welker, Dante Stallworth, Adalys Thomas, Kyle Brady, Sammy Morris, they were as active in free agency at the point in 2007 after coming off the Jordan.
That was a
load.
That was a
championship game. Yeah. That's a tough argument.
But did they do that because they could? Because at that and that particular season, they were in a good position to do it financially. You know, I don't know. But I'm just saying, I can't believe a team doesn't do everything it can to win within its means. You know, I can't believe that.
I have no problem with that.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. My only thing is, I wish that we would stop saying, and by we, I mean the fans, not like the Patriots organization. I wish we would stop saying how wrong everybody else is when, you know, the Washington Redskins go out and sign guys.
Because
you hit the nail on the head, Fred, at the very beginning of the show. The reason that Washington goes out and makes these signings and it doesn't translate is because they're not that good.
But
they have so much further to go.
But again, I think this all becomes from perspective. You're saying, I wish we would stop saying how wrong people are to do it the way they do. But I think fans would say, Patriots fans would say, we say that in response to people criticizing Bill Belichick and that they're cheap and they
but
don't
I
do
just,
things
they,
the right way.
I think
so
I just gave you three examples of when the Patriots did it that way and they won titles
I know,
as a result.
But it's a reaction to
because they're good.
It's a reaction to being criticized for the Patriot way, whatever the way that is, which is really any way that will win.
No,
and
it's
that
not
we have
a
an opportunity to do it.
I would rather they stop talking about the Patriot way and say that they're just like everybody else.
But
when
who's
they have
they?
The fans. Okay. This is what I'm talking about. I said not the Patriots organization.
Yeah.
I don't see the Patriots organization spouting
that
stuff.
On this show, I think we've all decided that there are many ways to win. And, you know, there is no one right way to do it. And I think we've also agreed that the Patriots do it different ways. You know, they don't always not pay. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. We always know that, you know, they certainly have a value system and they won't go over it, but they've made Wilfork the highest paid tackle. They've made Gronkowski at the time the highest paid tight end. They will do it at times. So, you know, I think you're right, but we got to get off this, you know, this team does it this way and the Pages do it that way and this is right and that's wrong.
They do. That's exactly what I just said. I wish we'd stop doing that.
You know, every team looks at its situation, looks at the opportunities. Now, do they swing and miss with personnel decisions? Hell yes.
Everybody does.
You know,
and it's like we said the other day, you know, the Mike Felgers of the world will say, well, you signed Revis, you won the Super Bowl. And as I said the other day, Rob Gronkowski stayed healthy and you won the Super Bowl.
Right.
It may have had minimal to do
Tom
with
Brady
Revis.
Played well and you won the Super
right.
Bowl.
You so know? It's like you signed James Devlin because he was on that team. He made you win the Super Bowl.
Because if any one of those things didn't happen with Revis, you wouldn't have won the Super Bowl.
Correct.
You know, so it's crazy. But what I think as Patriots fans we should find comfort in is this organization has had a long track of success. And however they decide to do it in that particular year, I think we should, you know, be fairly, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, like, and you know, Matt, I said this before you came in.
What do you want the benefit of the doubt with? Because I give the benefit of the doubt a lot, but what are you talking about specifically?
Well, I was just going to say, Matt, before you came in, we all said last year when this Revis thing came that we couldn't believe that they signed Revis. Looking at the deal, you know, it's probably going to be a one-year deal. They probably won't get him a second year. If
right.
we were saying that, don't you think Belichick and Caserio were kind yeah. of preparing themselves for that,
right.
too?
So what benefit of the doubt have they not been given on that?
I think people were saying they screwed up and they didn't, you know, they
could have
had people
were saying
they
screwed up because they lost him. They want him back, that's all. But I think everybody knew it was a one-year deal last year.
And they're saying you screwed up because you didn't right. really get so outbid for it. You didn't go this crazy contract.
I have faith that by losing Revis, it hasn't thrown the Patriots personnel department into chaos. That, you know, okay, we lost
is
him.
That, but there is was that, a, there is was that a, the perception?
There was a better than good chance we were going to lose him. Let's go to plan B.
But if you told me you lost Revis because, as he said a year ago, 28 teams were interested, the bidding just got crazy, it was back, it was forth, it was 4 years, $80 million fully
guaranteed. When the one team that you're bidding against will do anything it takes, and he wants to go to New York, you're kind of...
Yeah, but you didn't make him do anything it would take.
But here's a question I would ask you, Fred.
They actually went below his asking price.
I think everybody, yourself included, if I'm reading you right, said in March when they signed him a year ago, hey, this is a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's here for 1 year. We're going to rent the guy. Let's see where the chips fall where they may.
Yes.
I think as the season wore on and there was a perception, I don't know if it was reality, that Revis was comfortable here. He liked winning. He got along. He mm-hmm. fit in.
Right.
The Patriots
that's where
liked him.
That's where yeah. I was wrong.
They go to Arizona, and I think everybody said, hey, you know what? This guy's bought in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think maybe the decision makers convinced themselves this guy's bought in. We have a chance maybe to sign
I convinced
him.
Myself, Matt.
I convinced myself.
I know, but none of us are the decision makers.
No, I know, but I think Matt's right.
But
I think
maybe the decision makers thought, hey, you know what? Whereas we didn't think we had a sniff at this guy last March, mm-hmm. look at what we've been able to do this year. That's got to count for something.
Yep.
And in the end, it probably didn't count for
right.
anything.
Right, so let's move on.
Can I just give you something that backs that up a little bit? And if you disagree with this, Freddie, that's fine. But do you feel like the local writers here – when they opine on something like that, like whether or not Revis is going to be back, that a lot of them are doing so, you know, with some hint or push from the organization. You could not find a beat writer that felt like Revis wasn't going to be re-signed.
You and I had a discussion. Right? I asked Paul.
Everybody was universally agreement that Jeff Howes, the Mike Reeses,
no-brainer.
The Tom Currens, the Doug Kides, the Mark Daniels, the Paul Perillos, we all thought he was going to be back. We all thought he was going to be back. And I don't think that you just say, I'm going to eyeball it here. Yeah, I think he'll be back. I think, to Matt's point, I think there was an element of the organization that had sort of convinced itself, I think he loves it here. He likes it.
There might have been, but
we got this. He's going to come back.
And think about Revis.
Well, and you know what? And I'm sorry, Fred, but I think there might have been some truth to that. He might have felt stronger about being here at the middle of February than he did last March. But it might not have been enough to convince him.
Because remember,
not to go back.
But at the end of training camp, he was making statements like, I'm here for now.
Right.
He seemed a lot. We already went over that, and that didn't really say that when we went back and looked.
Oh, really?
Well, he said, I'm a Patriot now.
Now.
Right. Yeah.
I may have added four. Just
he
along
added
those,
the four, which I think changes it a lot.
Along those lines, Devin McCourty at Rutgers Pro Day with Nick Caserio.
You got this with Dan Duggan? Oh, I'm sorry.
I was reading it.
Okay.
I'm happy for Revis, McCourty said. I think a lot of people label him as chasing money, but I think he got a chance to be back to where he really wanted to be. From talking to him throughout the year, I don't think he ever really wanted to be out of New York. I think now it will give him an opportunity to be back playing in New York and back where he got drafted.
And
so Devin McCourty, in talking to Darrell Revis, took the same thing Andy Hart did talking to Darrell Revis. He didn't want to ever really be out of New York.
But that goes in contrast to what Paul just set up with the beat writers. None of the beat writers got that hint.
Right. It's also in contrast to what McCourty said last week.
And I also but I was going to say before Eric, cut in that I think Revis is a little bit of a different cat in that he's close to the vest. He doesn't give up this type of information. So McCourty could be absolutely right. All year he's been pining for New York, but he's not the kind of guy that's going to show that.
Right. And he's professional.
And he's a team guy. Every place he's been, you know, according to this article I was reading today, you know, every team, you know, Tampa, the Jets, and us have been impressed with how he goes all balls out and, you know,
compartmentalizes.
Right. So it's not that surprising that we didn't pick up that he really wanted to be.
I don't fault any of you.
Right. I'm going to go all Peter King here.
I fault me.
I'm going to go all Peter King here for a second. And having to spend a day with him in Arizona in July.
Did you text him?
I did not.
Was this before or after he hugged you?
Before. And then spending some time with him in Arizona with the other defensive backs. Fred's 100% right. He's a different cat. There is a, I don't want to call it cold, but there's a coolness about him.
Yes.
There is.
He is Walt Frazier. Somebody made that
comparison.
No, I
don't mean that
he's
cool.
He's Walt Frazier with
I don't
the
mean
Knicks.
That. I don't mean that kind of cool.
When Fred rooted
he is
for
not
him.
Warm. He is not warm.
Not surprisingly. Fred goes back to one of his other favorite teams.
Friendly, you mean?
No, but.
He's not effusive. He's business-like.
He's quiet.
He's cool.
He's quiet.
Yep.
Well, even right down to, did you read the Jason Cole piece on.
He's not Richard Sherman.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as you thought it was.
I thought it was really. Anytime I get a picture painted of what's going on.
Mike Reese was saying it was great.
I'm sorry. We very rarely get pictures painted of, especially in Patriots negotiations.
No, actually, it was Bob.
And.
Jason Cole said Revis was going to resign with the Patriots, but in any
I don't case. Care what Jason Cole said that was right or wrong. We've all been right. We've all been wrong. That's not.
He's unbelievable.
But more importantly, he paints a picture of Sean Gilbert and Cousin Larry,
cousin.
Or whoever the hell that is.
Cousin Larry.
Dealing with the speakerphone with the Jets. And Revis just in the background kind of taking it all in and smirking when they're, you know, and just distancing from it. It's business. It's cold. It's, I'll just take it all in, and when it's done, we'll okay it.
Well, I think we need to go back to where Fred started. I think everybody in March had an opinion that this is Sean Gilbert's nephew. This is going to be a business transaction, nothing other than that. August, I'm a Patriot for now, all of those things. And the local media and the beat guys and everybody else and the fans convinced themselves, hey, you know what? This winning culture here with the Patriots, it's changed him. No, it didn't. Uncle Sean was right there to remind him what's going on.
But you're missing something here, too, and what we didn't know. I didn't necessarily think the winning culture had changed him. I thought he really liked it here.
Yeah, he might have actually just...
I think he didn't like it here as much as New York.
Right. That's.
But everybody said he was changed. No, I think he kind of did change. He didn't just go out and chase every last dollar he could get.
Right.
He wanted to go back to the Jets. That part I agree with. That's the part I didn't see. And Andy was on it. The facts that we know, we don't know all the details because no one's talked to us specifically about all the details. But the fact is, we know he wanted to go back to the Jets last year, and they didn't want him. What we didn't know is he didn't take it personal. That's where he's the cool cat with the cards close to the vest. It was business. They didn't want me last year. They want me now. I went out and won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. They want me now. But I think he could have gotten more money somewhere else. Maybe not here, but I think he could have gotten more money had he let it go for another
and
5 days.
That might have been why last year 28 teams were interested, and this year the number that we heard was at most like 3 or 4.
Right.
Because maybe he put the word out there that, look, you know what? I really like New York, but I also –
kind of like being in New England too. So I'm really going to kind of just choose.
Well, it could have been as simple as the Raiders and the Steelers and the Chiefs and, mm-hmm. and the Browns and all the team, the Bills, as they were inquiring. He's letting everybody know it's the Jets.
It was the perfect marriage.
You know? Maybe that's why they started falling from the wayside.
And the Patriots were plan B, as you said earlier today. The Patriots were plan B.
But isn't that okay?
The team that was most desperate for the services happened to be the place he wanted to be. It was like a perfect marriage for him.
And it's almost like.
And that's what I didn't see.
What would you rather have, money or happiness? Well, he got money and happiness.
Exactly. Right.
The thing he may have given up, I'll give, is the winning.
Right. Well, he'll never win again.
He chose happiness over winning.
And Fred is back.
Where people may have miscalculated. Calculated was, all things being equal, he would have chosen here.
Right.
I think that's where most people miscalculated. That's the mistake that I made.
But didn't you think that, Andy?
What?
If all things were equal, that he would have returned.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't think he was coming back.
The longer it went, no, because I...
Going into it.
$27.50 makes it... No.
I just... but it did. You could have kept Darrell Revis on a new contract starting at any point along the way. And the longer it goes and then the close, it's just like, well, he doesn't really want to be here. Because I did think the Patriots would make some sort of a decent offer.
But maybe they did, and he said, you know, I don't want to talk about it now because he really wanted to go to the
Jets.
No,
that's my point.
Right, yeah.
If he really wanted to be here and it changed him, then if we're to believe $35 million, might have got it done in December.
Right.
Or January or February, whenever.
Right. He's so confident in his own ability. And,
as he should be.
Yeah.
He's the perfect guy.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Any guy who says... Damn it, I am worth a ton of money. And then you give him a ton of money and does his job. That's the way it should work.
Exactly. Right.
The bad guys are guys that you then give him a ton of money. And then,
Or I also don't think if it got down to the point where they realized, they meaning the organization here, realized, oh, he might like it a little bit better in New York. I don't think Revis would have been all that upset if the team had elected to pick up the second option. The option for year two.
Because he probably would have said, I'll go to New York next year.
Right. But he probably would have, I don't, like, some players might have looked at that and taken offense. I'm not sure he would have because, A, he would have been getting paid plenty. And, B, he would have been in a place that, you know, he said it was an awesome experience playing for Belichick. I think he would have been like, all right, well, plan B is not so bad. And then next year.
Oh, you're franchising me?
Yeah.
You pay me $30
million? Right.
Damn it. I like New York, but this business.
Exactly. I don't think he could have lost. In any of those scenarios.
No. Which is why people are saying how he has sort of played the system.
He's played it well.
So I have one question before I leave after interrupting your radio show.
I think you don't have to leave. Unless you're busy.
I got things to do.
You needed to just,
here's,
you know,
my question to you guys,
the experts. My segment's over. What else is there for that show?
How, and this is the only thing I care about, how will Revis be remembered here? How will it be handled organizationally here? There's no Nomar smearing campaign that's going to go on.
No.
And Revis is going to take the
Only by Jerry Thornton.
We'll see.
I mean, he's 30. He had to take reps off in practice.
Off
he was terrible against the
heroin
Ravens.
Problems.
Just the Jerry Thorntons of the world.
And Revis is certainly going to take the high road, as he already has.
Leave Jerry Thornton alone. It's a breath of fresh air.
I mean, I know people have some hurt feelings right now, fans who really wanted him to stay, and that's completely understandable. But I think you really have to go back and check your history and look at, like Paul said, if a year ago most people assumed it was a one-year deal and that he was here to win a Super Bowl, and after that, who cares? We won a Super Bowl. People are now hurt because it's actually happened that he's left and he's gone back to the Jets. But let's remember, enjoy the fact that you won a Super Bowl 10 years later
with your same coach and
your same quarterback and
the
your same owner.
The girl is right. You know, you'd say, I'd give anything for a summer with that girl. And
well,
then at the end of the summer, she goes back to her other boyfriend. You're like, really wish that had continued.
But you always look back and say that was a great summer.
You always have that summer.
Exactly.
Right.
Like Humphrey Bogart said, we'll always
have
parents.
I was never on the right side of those.
That was Casablanca. Was a movie that made a long time ago.
I know. Thanks.
All right.
Oh, he knows. Suddenly he knows about
that.
That happened before he was born.
I'm bummed that you have to leave.
Everybody wants to
you
get a crack at this.
It was a good appearance.
Food's not here yet, so let's get to the phones.
Did anybody ask?
That's why I'm not taking a break at 104.
The 104 break, yes.
Dana's in Connecticut. Hey, Dana.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Fred. It's been a while. Guys, listen, I just want to weigh in on a couple of things. Number one, and I mean this in total honesty, I texted my son the moment the Super Bowl ended,
And I said, we've seen the last of Revis. He'll never play. He'll never sleep time with them. I knew if we won a Super Bowl, he was gone. I knew it all along. So I'm not surprised. Business is business. Revis is Revis. And I disagree. I think even if he had the exact same deal on the table that New England offered him and matched it, I think he still would have went to New York. His heart's in New York. He loves Manhattan. And Revis wants to be known. You know, deep down inside, I think he'd like to have the legacy of saying he won a Super Bowl with the Jets as well. And he thinks in his heart that they have a shot next year. But that's okay. He's gone. I want your thoughts on McCourty. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but I wouldn't mind seeing him move back to corner with him and the other fellas on the other side. I think McCourty, you know, he broke in as a corner. I mean, if worse comes to worse and we really are hurting at that area, what are your thoughts on that? We got Harmon and we have, some pretty solid safeties that can get the job done. And I think it's going to be a bend, don't break defense. I'm going to be yielding a lot of yards again. But we won that way before, you know, playing tough down in the red zone, zoning up and patchwork pass coverage. So our offense, I think, with Gibson is going to be much, much better. I think you guys are not on that like I think you should be. I think this Gibson adds a lot to the offense. Anytime somebody comes over to New England, they always, I mean, Walker stepped up. I mean, LaFell stepped up. I just think Amendola he's going to be. Up. He's. I think they're all going to. Yeah, exactly. You're funny. I know I'm being long-winded. It's been a while. I've been trying to get through for a while, but I'm not heartbroken over the loss of Revis. I expected it, and I still think we're the team to be. I'm looking at. If I was Miami or the Jets, I'd still be petrified of playing New England. I think we're still by far and away the class of that division. Your thoughts on McCourty moving to corner. What do you think, guys?
Well, thanks for the call, Dana. Look, if it was injuries and you had to, it's good to know that McCourty has played the position before, but
he's found his niche and that's at safety.
And sadly, he might not be worse than Ryan or those other, but that doesn't mean you're good.
Right.
I want to have good coverage, and my lasting memories of him at corner are Joe Flacco just bitch slapping him and basically just throwing it up. And remember, he was just dropping back and McCourty seemed helpless.
He seemed helpless. He just didn't feel like he was aware of what was going on.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I think he's a safety now, and I also don't necessarily think I feel good. Now McCourty's getting beat at corner.
Right. Now you have to replace him at safety.
Harmon and Chung coming over to help him who's getting beat again. Yeah, I just feel it's snowballing.
I'd rather have him coming over and helping somebody else.
At least he'll tackle the guy after he beats Logan Ryan for 20 yards.
Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Mostly.
Chester.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
We found it. The one thing that killed Chester.
Chester, are you there? Chester.
I'm here. Yo, I'm here, fellas. What's going on? I don't know what happened there.
Fred.
How you been?
Good.
Good. Hey, you know, I'm disappointed as anybody about losing Revis, man. I mean, who isn't losing a talent like that? But, you know, here's my beef with Fan Nation. Where's the wisdom? You know, it's so early in this whole process right now. There's a lot of things that can be done here. And, you know, hearing Melvin's call leading off, you know, I've been talking to him a lot about this. You know, to both of us, we need a number one corner. We don't, you know, we need a Revis would be phenomenal, but we need a number one corner first and foremost. You know, there's room for trades. There's things that can happen there. But, you know, for me, this is an opportunity for us to finally get off our ass and get a pass rush. You know, we can flex this defense, flex our talent skill set, and reinvent this defense a little bit. Fan Nation, you need to pump your brakes on overreacting. I know we lost a key talent here. I'm not saying we didn't, but we need to see how this defense is going to frame up. We still got a kick-ass nucleus here. We still got Tom Brady. So everybody wake the hell up, pump your brakes, let's see what happens, over and out. Peace.
Thanks, Chester. Who's worried?
I don't even think he believed what he was saying.
Well, my question would be, if you didn't have the money for Revis, why do you think you have the money to, like, drastically improve the pass rush?
Oh, because you can structure it in a way that's palatable.
You could have done that with Revis.
Maybe not, Paul.
Why?
I don't know why.
Okay, so then why can you structure the pass rusher in a way that's palatable?
You know, maybe you won't be bidding against the guy who wants to be somewhere else.
Okay, then I don't know that you can structure a pass rusher that would be palatable then. If we don't know why, I mean, I don't know why. Yeah. How can you?
You know, you won't
it costs money to do those things.
I know, but you won't be in a bidding war with a team that will do anything.
How do you
and
know
a guy
that? If he's a great pass rusher.
I thought we just agreed on that.
But if he's a great pass rusher, no, I'm not talking about Revis. I'm talking about the pass rush.
Right. I don't
Revis,
know
I
that.
Agree with let me backtrack. I agree with you on Revis.
I don't know that, maybe you can't get anybody in here. But there's possibility that you can.
No, I understand there's always possibilities, and I started off the whole thing by saying it's March 13th or whatever it is. There's a long way to go here.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
long
you bring
way
a,
to go.
Maybe
there's a lot of acquisitions to be made.
In the same type of thing where, it's a two-year deal.
Do you? I mean,
I don't know.
Let me ask you this. I'm not explaining it right.
Like, they're never going to sign Revis.
No, I would not have expected them to sign Revis last year, and we were all pleasantly surprised. But let me ask you this. In your heart of hearts, when you look at this, do you think it's a realistic possibility that the defense will transform to a relentless pass rushing defense next year?
Not
unless they make a major move.
I don't either. I think they get pile up sacks like they always do.
I don't think Bill
likes 40 this year.
Yeah, I don't think Bill likes to play defense that way because it's too risk averse. I mean, it's not enough risk averse, I should say. But I do think it could be a lot better in not just in numbers and number of sacks, but I'm talking about just more steady pressure.
Yeah, I don't necessarily look at that area as something that can be drastically changed. And I know a lot of people are on that bandwagon. You lose your corners, maybe you load up front. I don't think that you can do it that way, and I don't think that will happen. I really don't.
Okay.
I think you can improve your pass rush, sure. I don't think you're going to, dramatically transform your defense into a defense that doesn't matter who you have back there because we're just going to get the quarterback all the time.
One thing
I think you nailed the reason why. I don't think Bill plays like that.
One thing I am a little concerned about right now is the condition of the linebacking core. I mean, you've got Mayo, who knows what's going to happen with him, and then now Hightower, we don't know if he's even going to be ready for the beginning of the season.
I mean, he certainly looks like PUP, right?
Yeah.
Camp, I'm talking.
Definitely for camp.
So, that is something you have to worry about there when it comes to the front seven.
Yeah.
Right?
At least so initially.
You've added a Sheard.
So to my point,
by the way, you got
a lot of guys to add to get to that kind of a defense.
Yes.
Jabal Sack. Jabal Sack.
See now.
Wow.
He's really reaching.
Yeah.
No, somebody actually tweeted me that they used to, I forgot what they said, but they used to have these dirty thoughts in their head when he would get a sack in Cleveland, and they actually thought of me. That I'm going to enjoy it when he comes here.
Oh, man.
Nat from Santa Cruz, California, the Patriots beat writers.
She's still throwing high heat.
He says, surprise, beat writers sometimes write what fans want to hear. The Patriots beat writers in Boston may have been looking through rose-colored glasses and seeing what their readers wanted to hear. We all wanted Revis back, and I think columns that have headlines like, Revis likely not coming back would have been met with so much backlash. Reporter, Revis probably not coming back. Fans, thanks, Dick. You just jinxed us.
I agree with the rose-colored glasses part. I don't agree with the last part. If people felt like he wasn't coming back, you don't not write that story because you're afraid of the backlash. Otherwise, you're in the wrong profession because everything that we do gets backlashed. I was telling you guys off air. I played like the other night when Revis was gone. It happened around 9 o'clock.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like 5 hours after free. Yeah, 9 o'clock. It was like 5 hours after free agency. And I was
3 days into their negotiations.
I was on Twitter and getting the news just like everybody else. And there were some people, some of the local guys like Dan Roach, our own Bob Sosi, tweeting stuff about, it's almost like, the reaction here is almost like they didn't win the Super Bowl. And I sort of retweeted that and said, absolutely. And, I was kind of playing the role of the positive troll, if that, that oxymoron sort of makes any sense. You would not believe the backlash I got for saying that I would have signed up for a year and having won the Super Bowl with Revis. It's almost like they didn't win the Super Bowl at all, the way that fans are reacting. I got absolutely butchered for saying really, really positive things, which is not generally my norm, as you know, Freddie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what – if you don't have a thick skin in this business, it doesn't matter if you're positive or negative. You're going to get heat.
Just look at Eric.
Yeah, Eric just blocks everything.
We have a lot of emails
very
about
simple.
We have a lot of emails wondering if the Jets hadn't tampered, would the Patriots have had a better shot at re-signing him?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't either, but
they did tamper.
Should there be penalties for what Woody Johnson did?
What tampering? What would it, yeah, I mean, I think it's tampering. Absolutely. I don't think there's any other side of that one. I mean, he was tampering. He said it. I don't know if you guys saw it. Ben Volen wrote a small story today about that whole that whole element, and he actually put a block of the rule book out about tampering, and they gave an example of a comment that would be prohibited, I believe, is the way it's written in the rule book.
Written in the rule book?
I fixed it before it came out.
Wabbit.
I fixed it before it came out. A-hole.
Okay, go ahead. Let's go.
A-gap. A-gap. I'm sorry, Fred. The way it was, you know, Team X says, he's a tremendous player, and we would love to have him on our team, but he's under contract on another team right now. So there's that. That would be an example of a comment that would be prohibited. Woody Johnson said, he's a tremendous player who we'd love to have. Said nothing about,
but he's
under contract for another team.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no.
So there is no gray area of whether or not it was tampering. I don't care about tampering.
I don't either.
Because I know every team does, but the league does. And this is one that's on record. He said it at a press conference, so there's no paper trail that's hard to find.
Well, did you hear that?
I think it's just ridiculous at all that the league cares that another team expresses interest in another player. That's how the world works.
I do too.
When you see talent at another organization, you try to bring it over.
Well, I have no doubt that.
Who cares?
I have no doubt that throughout the season, somebody from Revis's camp, you know, and somebody from the Jets camp were talking. I have no doubt. And I think that happens in every
team. Cousin Larry.
You know, whatever.
And that's fine with me. I don't care.
But I think when you're that stupid to do it like Johnson, you know, if that's the rule, then...
they'll probably lose. I mean, some of the examples are...
They swap draft picks.
You get maybe a late-round pick, and then in another round you swap spots.
Right.
So you could go from 32 to 6, say, like in the fourth round.
I'll take it.
And maybe get a... You know, and maybe the other team loses a pick.
Mm-hmm. I think it might be a little higher than that.
It could be third round. I think there was an example
of... San Francisco was
a third rounder. And San Francisco, Chicago?
This is in that range, if not more so. I think it was a bad case, and I've said this all along, because not just what he said, but it was a player for your division rival who expressed an interest in coming to you last year, who there's a decision about his contract for a year moving forward, and you made it clear, if you're available, we want you.
Yeah, I think that in order to have something that high, and I don't know what the NFL uses for the criteria, it's another reason why they're so incompetent. They don't get this stuff out there so people understand what it correlates to. Instead, it just feels like Roger just throws darts.
I think it has to do with the player. I mean, if you're talking about Raymond Trone.
No, see, I disagree. I disagree that it has anything to do with the player.
Really?
No. If it's tampering, it's tampering. It doesn't matter the caliber of player. My point is, if this is the only example, what we know, then I don't think they should get, like, swapping spots in the third round. I think that you should have to have proof that they were talking to Revis.
Well,
the Jets were talking to Revis while he was a free agent.
Did you read the quote on the Gunther Camp Cunningham one?
Yeah.
He said, like, nothing.
Right.
And they swapped spots and got a pick, right?
Yeah, but it was like a fifth round.
Right, but it's...
But the other one was a third round.
To a player, and it was less egregious, in my opinion.
I just don't understand the rationale
I agree it was less egregious. I do agree with that.
Are you allowed to talk to anybody in the real world? Is that how that works?
Well, I think...
Like, if I work for Google... And I have a 3-year contract. Am I allowed to talk to Apple?
It depends if you have a non-compete clause
in
your contract.
What are you talking about?
Or a non-disclosure, whatever it's called. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what the language says.
Right. I'm fine with it.
And some places you don't sign a contract.
You're just hired.
I hate the whole tampering thing.
I have no problem with it. If I sign a guy to a contract, he's part of my organization. I don't want him talking to anybody else.
Okay.
I just don't think that's... You may not want a contract.
Right, you may not want him to, but it's okay for another team to look at the person under your employ and say, boy, that guy's really good. We need to get players like him.
They can look anytime they want. That's not outlawed. What's outlawed is going public with those comments or letting the player know.
I agree with you. It was tampering.
Because it's leverage.
It's tampering.
You have another home. Like the Deion Branch example with the Jets is the perfect example. You know, if you think, or Wes Welker's the perfect example. You can think whatever you want is out there. But if somebody lets you know it's out there, you are now emboldened to dig your heels in with your current negotiation.
And what's wrong with that? I don't see what's wrong with that. That's how you advance.
It's illegal.
Well, you can advance it to another league.
No, but Eric's point is he doesn't think it should be.
I don't think it should be illegal, is my point.
Well, that's fine.
No one's
Bill
arguing.
Bill Belichick doesn't think he should have to do weekly press conferences.
Right.
You want the job, you take what comes with
but
the job.
But no one, I don't think anybody can argue
contract,
that there was no tampering.
You take
done.
What's in the contract.
But should Bill Belichick have to do that?
Yes.
Okay. You know.
And just like I think it is, teams should not be able to lure. I mean, it's different, first of all, because professional sports. But B, when you sign a contract, you take everything that's in that contract, not just the part you like, the part where it says one comma comma comma
See,
comma
I
zero
feel,
comma comma comma.
And listen, again, no one's going to argue that it wasn't tampering. It was. I feel like the true measure of tampering would be if Woody Johnson is talking to Revis and saying, "This is what I'm prepared to offer you." So now he has this unfair advantage when he starts negotiating with the Patriots as to whether or not he's going to sign. By the way, I'm not ruling out that that happened. That may have happened too. That might be what, but to me, just saying that so-and-so is a great player and we'd love to have him back doesn't necessarily give you as much of an advantage, yeah. I think, as you're describing.
Yeah, I think it does.
Because I don't, I mean, like, especially
well,
for a guy like Darrell Revis.
There's degrees of advantages. If I have an offer sheet, you know, on the slide,
that's
obviously
different.
That's a bigger advantage than just knowing a team wants
me. Right, but that takes it from a third-round pick to a second-round pick or
maybe,
whatever.
Maybe.
But all he could have done to make it worse was, and remember, Darrell, Idzik didn't want you, but he's gone now. Like, that's how he could have emboldened that statement.
Sure.
I just think in this specific case, this is a really bad offense. Because this isn't a random
team.
It
doesn't bother me.
This
I don't
is
think
the
it
team
really
that the owner knows last spring he wanted to come to. And he's saying, I know the door wasn't open last spring, but it's open this spring,
right.
Baby.
It's the same owner who.
What if Woody told him last year, you know, I would do it, but Idzik doesn't want to do it? What if he said that to him last spring?
Okay.
Well, he reiterated.
So, like, but my point is, like, I think it's kind of naive to think that Darrell Revis needed Woody Johnson to express that interest.
I didn't say
in that
he needed it.
So, but because of that, I don't think it helped. I don't think it was that big a deal.
And I also don't think you can pick and choose when you're going to enforce rules.
I'm going to go back to my beginning. I don't think you can argue that this wasn't tampering, and they should be.
Right.
For it.
We're arguing
where,
that it
where
should
Eric
be a
is
rule.
Arguing is that yeah. He doesn't think it's that big a deal.
I don't
and
think
I agree with him.
Right. Like it's it. Not it's who cares? That's
by
the way,
way
life
by
works.
The letter of the law, this is guilt. The Jets are going to lose a draft pick or switch spot. Something is
right.
Going to happen. Or maybe they'll just get fined. I don't know. Because the NFL
happen,
does
right.
Not do anything.
They're going to switch.
The picks. NFL doesn't tell you what they do all the time.
To me, it's just a question of which round.
This is absolutely 100% tampering. You cannot get around it.
By the letter of the law, sure.
They talked about a guy on another team. Anybody arguing that the Jets didn't tamper is just a Jets fan that has got blinders on.
But
absolutely was tampering.
Sure. It's just not a big deal, in my opinion.
See, I think it's a big deal. I think it's a negotiating tool.
Which is fine. That's how human nature is. That's how the world works.
I know, but contracts are contracts for a reason. You sign them, and
so
they
where
have
does
a
it
start date.
Where,
right.
Where does it stop? Like, can Bill Belichick talk to players on the other team at midfield after a game?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah,
but I mean,
not about a contract.
Right. Not about I'd love to have you on my team.
Wait, but hold on. He's
what
not,
if,
you're not
you
playing
that
for the team.
You know, how many times you say, you know, Ed Reed is the best in the business? That's not telling you that you'd love to have him?
Yeah.
I mean, at the Pro Bowl, he said to Ed Reed, you give me you and I forget who the other guys were, and that's all I would need, those three guys, and I would be able to shut anybody down.
Sure.
Isn't that saying I'd love to have you on my team?
Absolutely is.
I mean, I think it was a very innocent comment.
Oh, I don't.
But I think
sure it is, and there's nothing wrong
with
it either.
The Belichick comment about Ed Reed.
Oh, yeah, I think that was innocent. Yeah.
And your comment about the fact that there are contracts in place, yeah, but it's not like he's not playing under two contracts. He's playing under the one, and then when that one ends, he decides whether he wants to have a new one with this person or that person.
Right.
That's it.
When the contract ends.
No.
The contract hadn't ended yet.
So what?
Well, Eric,
he was a Patriot.
But there is a slippery slope because remember, okay, you're talking in the case of one team wanting another guy.
And that's why they have it in place.
What if there's five or six teams that would love to have him, and now that one team has slipped in and gotten a head start from the other teams?
But if I'm a smart negotiator businessman, I say, well, that's good. Let me also find out what everybody else is offering. I don't care who comes to me first.
I
want to know what's out there.
But remember what happens when free agency starts. Okay, the gates are open,
mm-hmm.
and everybody wants to get that first contract because the longer you wait, the less money you make. You know, so you don't want to wait sometimes because that deal that was on the table now, maybe they don't wait for you and they sign somebody else and now it's gone. So there is that rush at the beginning to get the initial contracts, and those are the ones that pay the most.
No, I get it, but I mean, the way NFL free agency works now, what
some people think is a long time is not really a long time. I mean, these deals get done in a matter of minutes.
And why? A lot of them are
right. So, I mean, you can, if you come to me, you know, an hour before or a day before and say, we want to offer you this, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there are rules in place. We have to wait until 4 o'clock to make this official. But when 4 o'clock gets here,
well, that's
Andy's on the phone with me. Paul's on the phone with me.
No,
I'm going to listen to Andy and Paul. You know what? If you care that much about me to give me that kind of an offer, allow me 5 minutes to talk to each of these guys and find out what they're offering.
Who else are they on the phone with?
I don't care.
You do, because you want to get that contract. So if the other guy says yes before you, you're out of luck. You know? Now, in
the case of Revis, but, I mean,
he probably wouldn't have to care because, especially this year, he's all alone. He's on a mountain by himself. There wasn't anyone near his talent. You know, but in a hypothetical where Sherman and Peterson and Revis were all available, that's where this whole tampering thing would make more sense, you know, to enforce.
And it also makes more sense to enforce in the situation of a veteran being asked to take a pay cut. He doesn't know what's on the open market. You know, Brandon Browner was given permission to test his value in the open market, but there's plenty of guys that have to make decisions. Will you take a $2 million pay cut,
right,
or do you want us to cut you? And I need to know whether I'm going to make what they're offering, basically, the $2 million reduction or not.
It's Shark Tank. It's Shark Tank.
Yeah, but
right.
See, my point is, if there is no rule about when you can talk to another organization about working for them, that makes it better, because now anybody can come to you at any time and say, when your contract is up, we'd like to hire you. Okay, fine. I still have to play out my contract, but talk to me anytime about what you want to offer me when the time comes.
Yeah, but Andy's point in that hypothetical would be, now the guy is not as willing to renegotiate potentially,
right,
with that company, because he knows, I'm not going to be out of work. That other company wants me.
Right.
That's right. So, I mean, I could see both sides of that. I just don't think this particular transgression was as big a deal as it's being made out to be. I think it was pretty clear that Revis knew that the Jets would be there for him.
But he shouldn't be. He shouldn't, right?
Why? He's not stupid.
They didn't want him a year earlier.
But he knows why.
Does he? Because I
got to assume he knows
you're
why.
Also, I mean,
is not the same. We got to assume that he talked to somebody. His people talked to them.
Right, his people talked to
them. Well, that's called tampering.
No, last spring, he talked to the Jets. He wanted to go back there.
So
he knows why they didn't want to sign him.
Right. You know, there were there were conflicting reports last spring that it was Idsinger.
But I'm not
Johnson.
Talking about reports.
So
I'm talking
Johnson,
about what his
I don't
knowledge
know
is.
They want me back.
Yeah, but his knowledge has got to be something. He
right.
was the
he
one involved in
something.
It.
Yeah.
He's not guessing like the media is.
How do you know that?
So they just say, no,
we're not interested.
Yeah.
John Idzik is probably
I find
the
that
one
awfully hard to believe.
I find it hard
we're
to
not
sorry.
Interested.
Yeah.
I find that to be
believe.
More hard to believe than anything, that he doesn't know why they didn't re-sign him.
Okay. I mean, I just – if you're – there's – in all likelihood, John Idzik declined last spring.
I know.
Because he's the GM.
In reality, though, there's ways to back-channel to somebody without it. You know,
and the other thing, too, is
still cheating.
Like,
it is, but it happens, right?
If you're in a position where you're talented enough that other people are interested in hiring you, in general, not necessarily Revis, just in general, and you like where you are, and somebody comes to you and says, we want to give you this offer, and you really like where you currently are, you say, why, that's great, I'm under contract, don't you go to your employer and say, hey, just so you know, Paul wants to hire me.
I know, but
this is a collectively bargained league.
Right, but let's
league.
Just right,
different.
Exactly. And let's just say that you know, Eric, you're working.
I get
right?
that.
I don't want, you know, let's just say you're the most talented writer in Boston, and everybody. But I don't want five companies while you're working for me, distracting you with, hey, when you're ready,
right,
we give you. You know, I want you focusing on
you
this
job. You guys
are
making good arguments.
You know?
It doesn't
I
bother
understand.
Me as much as you guys.
I understand
but you're
that,
good
but you but I mean. You can't just assume that somebody is not going to concentrate on one job that they have because they're getting offers from somewhere else. If I'm under contract I'm going to give you everything
listen,
I have.
Listen, I'm
telling you a lot about
myself
right now.
A long, long time ago, Eric,
I'm telling you that I will give you everything I have if you hire me.
But listen, a long, long time ago, I was an editor of a human resource trade magazine, believe
I think
it
you
or
told,
not.
Yeah,
is that
I did,
why you're so critical?
Yeah. and it really focused on recruiting mm-hmm. and the headhunters and all. And I was talking to this one headhunter, and he said a tactic that he used to use, especially in the high tech, he would call on a Friday and talk to somebody there and say, hey, you know, I was going over the salaries in your department. It's amazing how much they range. And by Monday, that department would be in disarray because everybody wonders, where am I on that range? And that's all it took to get people now to plant the seed, to get people to want to leave. You know, and so it's along those lines where, you know, you don't want people fielding offers while they're under contract for you. It's a distraction. How can it not be? You know, especially when those offers are much more than I'm making now. Jeez, I could be making that.
And just think of how much we know that the Patriots take into account locker room comms within their own locker room. Oh, Tully Vantakane got this, so Rob Ninkovich can or can't get this.
Oh, it's all dick measuring. Oh, God.
Wait, what?
I don't think we can say that.
Perillo out.
I mean, we've loosened up a little, so we say the word, he's a dick, but you just actually, I guess technically that's the anatomy, and you're allowed. I don't know.
No, you're measuring a private detective.
Right.
We could just gloss over what I said, or we could go in depth, you know.
No, that's what we do.
All right, bad-looking pizza, Paul.
We get a magnifying glass.
Listen, now food is here.
Especially for your measuring.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take some more calls and emails, and then we'll wrap it up. We'll be right back.
The new $5 New England Patriots instant scratch ticket from the Mass State Lottery features over $46 million in prizes. Win up to $250,000 instantly. And there are also second chance opportunities to win exclusive Patriots game day experiences, including away game trips to Miami for 10 years. It's the new $5 New England Patriots instant ticket from the Mass State Lottery. For more, visit masslottery.com. Must be 18 years or older to play. Please play responsibly.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's own ticket agency. We live and work here, and just like you, we are passionate Boston sports fans. We love live events, and most of all, we love our customers. And in return, our customers have given us the highest customer service rating of any ticket agency in America. Wow! Thanks to all employees of Ace, and thank you to all our customers for rating us number one. When you need tickets, come experience the Ace difference. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
A lot of people talk about giving their best. They talk about leaving it all on the field. But how do you know if it's enough? The simple fact is, you don't. But that's why you keep going. Keep working. Keep doing your job. And in the end, your results will show exactly how much you gave. Putnam is proud to partner with those who share their own commitment to performance excellence. This is Matt Light for Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
All aboard!
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
For some, there is no wait until next year. This year is next year. Success matters right now, today. And it's okay to say it out loud. To say, I want to win. It makes you search for ways to be better. Better for yourself and for your teammates. Putnam is proud to partner with those who share their own commitment to performance excellence. This is Matt Light for Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
Is it all natural?
Back?
Yeah.
All right, we're talking pizza here. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's get right into it. Of course, we're talking about Revis. We're also talking about going forward in 2015, but mostly Revis. James is the most interesting Patriots fan in the world, and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Great.
Yeah, right. First things first, I think going back to the tampering thing, I don't think it actually benefits the player to do any tampering or speak to anyone, because really when it comes to negotiation, time is your enemy. So you'd much rather hit the negotiating period without anyone knowing what you want to do, because that will cause teams to sort of come in and do bigger offers and things like that. So I don't think it would have necessarily benefited Revis to get involved in tampering.
What if he was considering doing a restructured deal here, though?
Yeah, well, that's not what, as in he was testing the market with what was going on here just to see if the Jets would have matched it.
Yeah, you may not want other teams to know what you're doing, but you certainly can benefit from knowing what other teams want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure, but if the Jets won in that badly, I would have actually played off on the Jets. If the Jets show an indication that they want me, I'd have been like, yeah, well, we'll just wait till, the free agency happens. But to be honest, it's sort of a moot point because it's not really there. I mean, right. My points on Revis are, I think he may have been very, very mercenary, went to Tampa Bay, and then became slightly less mercenary.
Yeah, you should hire him for one of your companies.
So, what, really? I don't pay that much, please. But I think the thing is with him, the thing where I'm a little bit confused is firstly, let's establish this. The Patriots could have signed Revis. Yes. Anyone who disagrees with that, I don't understand why they think they couldn't sign him.
True. There is no doubt they could have signed him.
They could have.
Well,
correct.
There is no doubt they could have put in an offer that was capable of signing him. If he didn't want to come back, then no, they couldn't sign him.
Sure, but I don't understand why they wouldn't have wanted him back. And I don't think there was an offer that... And here's the thing. If he was really, really... And here's the thing. You either had a chance to sign him or you didn't. If you never had a chance to sign him, then you've got to push the Jets to pay the maximum amount.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do the Jets pay, mm-hmm. but also right. yeah. if they give Revis a ridiculous 5-year deal, you know, 1 or 2 years from now, the Jets are probably going to cut him. If they're in restructuring, if they need to do somebody else and something like that. So not only
yeah, it puts them in dire
Jets
some
in that respect,
difficult
you can
straight,
sort of
yeah.
be on branch it where, you know, he doesn't quite work out to where it is and there's every chance for him coming back. That's the other thing I think about McCourty. If McCourty signs that deal somewhere else, I've got this, I don't think he would serve out his entire contract.
That's a possibility.
He may not serve out his entire contract
here. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
correct.
None of these guys have, right? Seymour didn't. Mankins didn't.
I don't think there's
Will
much
Ford
of a chance
Gordon.
Of him.
Right.
I don't know if they're filling that entire contract.
If you have the choice of having McCourty on his current deal with your team and the Jet or Revis with his current Jets on your team, which one would you choose?
Revis on his contract, I would choose a million times out of a million.
Absolutely.
So would I. So, and here's the other thing. He wants to go back to the Jets. What's remaining in the Jets from his time there?
Well, but
I think it was also Manhattan.
Yeah, I think it might just be the location.
By most accounts, he likes the vibe, the restaurants, and there was some other in the list of things
his
he likes.
His quality of life.
Yeah.
Thing.
So,
I mean, that could
and
be it.
Now, there are probably a few people, and Bowles, he has, I believe Bowles was there at one point, and he also said
not
he talked.
Not for him, though.
He wasn't?
No.
Because he said he talked a lot to Cromartie about Bowles, and he liked what he heard and saw there, too.
But then if I understand that, but I think with Revis, there is a dollar amount that would be there to compensate for being in New England on a winning team and things
I
like
agree.
That.
I agree with that.
Let's say it's $1 million a year extra. Then that's fine. What I don't understand is that, you know, Andy, you can help me out here. Who currently on the roster gets overpaid?
Jerod Mayo, Devin McCourty, Nate Solder, Danny Amendola was up until today, and
he,
I don't even know what that
still
is.
Be when yes. we look at the structure of that 3 years.
Marcus Cannon.
Yeah.
So to my
you can make an argument for Vollmer.
Can they really get overpaid?
Who?
All those guys you just mentioned.
Yeah, yes. Well,
Marcus Cannon.
Cannon, absolutely.
Marcus Cannon makes starter money. He's in the middle of the pack starting money.
Yeah, but
starting
doesn't
money.
Every team have, like, a guy that,
okay,
you know,
so now we're gonna
is
go
a,
back
is
to
a bat? I'm just saying, yeah, you've got to look at the market.
Before we go off on an argument, I just want to know, is if we're going to overpay, you know, Brady took a pay cut, I think, because we're going to overpay, and we can argue whether he gets a pay cut, but really he's not getting paid the league pick. Where are we going to choose to overpay? We've established that corner is one of the top three positions anywhere on the field. Why are we overpaying in six or seven areas?
Well, but
it's the dollar value of overpaying because
you need
53
guys.
You know, there's
no question that Bill Belichick, at the heart of some of his philosophy and style and the way he does things, he'd much rather overpay 10 guys by a million than one guy by 10 million.
Right.
He's done that forever with James Sanders, Kyle, any name you want to throw
Warren.
Out for the last 10 to 15 years, he has overpaid in little chunks more than overpaying
and
in big chunks.
And I wish it worked better for him, but, you know.
He's such an a-hole.
That's what I mean. Instead of the devil, you know, it's not the sum of its parts. Sometimes it's just having the key individual.
Yeah, if it was a basketball team, James, you'd be 100% right, but that you need a lot of guys, and we've seen that.
Or if it was a football team and we predicted to start the year, if Brady, Revis, and Gronk stay healthy, you will win the Super Bowl. They did, and you did.
But we've also seen that the first 53 guys you start with aren't the 53 you end with, and there's this constant need to have backups and depth and all this stuff.
Those guys don't cost money.
No,
I know that they're perceived to cost a lot of money, but they don't.
But you can't. The more you pay a few guys, obviously there's less money to go around.
Yeah, think if I pay $1.5 million for this guy, the $800K guy couldn't do it.
And the other thing about the other thing is, simply overpaying is half of it. And right, if you're going to overpay somebody, why not it be Revis? But
why not now?
But
why not us?
The other thing the Patriots like to do, and I think most teams do, they like to have that out. What if it doesn't work out? How can we?
I'd love to be overpaid.
How can we, you know, couch that, you know, that hit that we take as much as we can?
That's right. Yeah. Here's my point. If Revis was going for the Jets, why didn't we just pretend to overpay to make the Jets pay more?
Well, that's an interesting
comment that
you made, because that was sort of out there a little bit, James.
That blows up in your face. The worst you've done is overpaid for DeRozan.
Exactly. We said that in the office to each other.
And I like how that sort of was spun a little bit Tuesday night, that the Patriots had actually taken themselves out of the running on Monday and allowed the Jets to bid against themselves, to which I said, it didn't work.
That seems madness.
Yeah.
The other thing is that you know, you can put, you know, at this deal, I can't see us getting Darrell Revis. You push them up so they're paying a ridiculous amount, and then they're cutting them. Where's his landing spot if they cut them, if there's a restructured deal and something like this? And let's talk about loading up here. Essentially, for me, loading up is doing everything we can when we've got Brady, because really, Brady and Revis retiring together seems like perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
So, there's not loading up where you're ruining your future. There's loading up whilst taking advantage of an underpaid Tom Brady.
That's
where I'm slightly confused. If they could have signed him but didn't, and it was for a couple of million here or there, then that just doesn't make sense to me. If it was a choice between Devin McCourty and somebody else, that doesn't make sense to me either.
I get it. And, you know, we got to move on. But thanks, James. You know, the thing is,
how long did you let him go?
A long time.
Let me interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
That idiot tightened this Diet Coke so tight that the top of the
no, that's the not true.
You didn't just see that? Look at these dents.
What are you trying to do?
I was trying to unscrew the cap so hard that the whole top nozzle collapsed. Now, it's a plastic 2-liter bottle. So there's no weight up there.
Keeps the fizz in. My mother actually bought a special tool she used to use to undo the soda.
The whole neck of the bottle collapsed.
You know,
All right,
mother does anal.
Let's move on.
Your dad told me.
Joel in Atlanta. Hey, Joel.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up, Joel?
You caught me. I was sleeping. I mean, that guy was talking forever.
I thought you were on the Bluetooth.
Careful. He's one guy you don't want to have caller and caller crime with. You will disappear.
You know what?
No, because there'll be crime.
Interesting Patriot, but I was deemed the most hated Patriot a few years ago.
That is true. That is true. And you're doing a good job trying to rekindle that.
I got to do what I got to do, Andy. But I'm going to be honest. I'm more upset about the Patriots not signing Revis. I'm not mad at Revis, because if you look at last year's deal, it was a one-year deal with a $20 million option, right? And listen, just mind you, if everybody was Revis, right, you go into negotiations with the Patriots and you say, hey, you were going to pay me $20 million this year to play. So why not continue that on? I want $20 million this year, and then whatever next year is going to be, and so on and so on. So it made that the deal that the Patriots made with Revis last year, it gave the upper hand to Revis, not the Patriots. Patriots had no, didn't have the upper hand.
Agree.
And signing Revis this year. But my thing is, you had to be aggressive. You know, if you deem him to be the number one corner in the league, you need to pay him like the number one corner. I think he should have got $17-18 million a year to me. That's what I think where his number should be at. But, I mean, if you look at what the Patriots do, look at what they pay Tom Brady. There's no way Peyton Manning should make more than Tom Brady a year. Tom Brady, everybody's saying that, you know, he's this Hall of Fame quarterback, but he doesn't get paid like a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Well, not this year.
That's a misnomer.
But the last 4 years he did.
The totality of his contract, he was paid like
last year.
It's just the way it was structured.
Last year was a normal year. It was 18, 19 million, whatever.
Right.
This year, that's his cap number is 14 this year. Even this year, he's not all. Remember, I did it.
Was it 2 years ago that he made 60?
I was looking at Ben Roethlisberger, and he was finishing out his deal at like 12 million. Well, right. He is a multi-time Super Bowl winning quarterback,
and coming off arguably the best year of his career.
I think everybody assumes every quarterback makes 20 plus million every year.
Right.
They don't. They load up. They get that year where they get the 60 or the this, but then it trickles out. And
the anomaly
they come
would
back
be
down.
I just wish, you know,
these 3 years.
Yeah, I just wish, though, when the media talks about Tom Brady, they would talk about the totality of the deal that he signed and not what it's in the last years of it. Because if you look at that, he's paid, you know, as one of the best quarterbacks in the league, Hall of Famer.
Which leads me to another problem I have with some of your people, Fred, who
My
are
people.
Spewing this idea. Now you got Revis on the books for $18 million a year or something. Now he's making more than your quarterback. That's going to be a problem. Well, wait a minute. I thought Tom Brady left money in the coffers so he could be surrounded by more talent. So you surround him with more talent and he's going to have a problem with you paying Revis? That makes no sense. Which side of the mouth are you talking out on that one?
Of course not. Well, that's, you know, don't listen to
those
them.
Are your people.
Don't listen
those
to
are
those
your people.
People. Those aren't my
your
people.
Your people.
No, people. No,
those aren't Fred's
no,
people.
Not.
Fred,
no,
those
no.
aren't your people.
No, they're not.
Fred,
see, all, I can see all the carbonation is seeping out of that bottle because the cap's not tight enough.
Those aren't your people.
I see it seeping out of your head. Marcus is in Kansas City. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Look, I'm just, I'm stuck. I have no idea what to expect out of this season now. We're, I don't know.
AFC title or bust?
I mean, but damn, like, you don't got, like, we're stuck. There's nobody out here. The secondary, like, market this year is dry as far as free agency goes. The draft is slim to none as far as, like, the secondary goes. I have no clue what they're going to do.
That's okay.
And
they'll be fine.
It's still early.
It all works out for them. The secondary's not going to be anywhere near as good as it was last
no,
year. That's just the bottom
Hell
line.
Not.
It won't.
The team probably won't be as good as it was last year.
But they still have a chance to make.
Not as good can still be AFC title and compete for a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
We've seen lesser Patriots teams do that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So
We have, but this is, you have to realize in that the team is still getting older. Tom Brady is a year older.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's not, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
so build up that offensive line.
Yeah, but it's also not ideal to ask him to score more. You know, some of these people are saying we're going to give him another weapon and we're going to score more. Well, at 38, he's even more of a question than he was at 37.
But yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But we tried to let score more or outscore the team. You get to the
yeah,
Super Bowl,
but wait, let's stop. Yes,
the
you tried and you came up a play short. Just like when you loaded up on defense,
right.
You pulled a play out of your bunghole
right.
to win.
I mean,
otherwise, you could have loaded up on defense
and
lost.
And that's a fun. And Mark,
but isn't it better to have the talent so you don't have to pull upsets
but,
surprise
yeah, but
people?
You can have the talent on offense, and you might have won in 07. Just because you didn't win doesn't mean you couldn't have
oh,
won.
Oh, no, 07
And
was...
you loaded up in 2013, 14 on defense, and you
yeah.
almost lost.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't necessarily
oh,
work.
I'm sorry. I got caught watching Twitter, and Shane Vereen was thanking everybody. I was reading some of those tweets to
yeah.
myself, but...
After stepping that up
argument
to the Giants organization.
Yes, that argument wasn't.
Boy, did he step in it.
That argument was about that you need to load up on defense to win, not offense.
He said, we've tried that. We tried
okay.
loading up on offense,
right.
and you didn't win.
My fault. I thought it was a different argument.
Yeah, and you loaded up on defense and almost didn't win.
You can win either way.
Right.
McCabe is in Virginia. Hey, McCabe.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Okay.
Very clear.
Well, you know, we're definitely not going to be the same team we were last year, but what do you think the Patriots can do to come back this year, to win again this year?
Well, I think first and foremost, you start where you started last year. Gronk has to stay healthy. Brady and Gronk have to stay healthy.
Yep.
And you're probably going to have to be better on the front. The pass rush, we've already seen them invest in Sheard, and you're going to hope that the Hightower-Collins duo, A, stays healthy, and B, continues to evolve as a unique pair of sort of front seven weapons.
And if you don't do enough on defense to upgrade maybe the front seven, you have to try to upgrade on offense to outscore these other defenses and these other offenses. That
I'm a little more dubious of that because I think you've always been pretty good on offense. It's, you know... Yeah.
But
I would score 27 this game. Do I score 30?
No, yeah, but I still think you're
not going back to 07 where you just roll doors and the defense is along for the ride.
But I think you could try to maybe upgrade at running back, maybe get another receiver who...
Adrian Peterson?
I wouldn't want Adrian Peterson.
I wouldn't either, but what if he becomes available? Adrian Peterson,
I wouldn't want him.
You know how the other team doesn't score? When Adrian Peterson has the ball.
Let's get to some emails real quick. We're coming to the end of the show. Mads in Norway. Would you guys re-sign Wilfork for a 2-year, $10 million deal? If not, what would be the highest salary per year you would offer him?
Would I pay Wilfork $5 million is what you're asking me, basically?
No.
No.
I don't think I would either.
Two.
Three?
I'll give him two for four.
What was he going to make this
year?
$2 million a year?
Eight, seven.
Nine million, basically?
Nine.
I'd give him a third of that.
I might give him 2 for 9.
But why didn't we
two for six.
Why didn't we just do this at the time?
So $3 million.
Yeah.
If we were going to do this, why didn't we just do this? I'm a little confused on, we kind of parted ways.
We don't know what he was offered. We don't
Because now.
Oh, because he didn't tamper.
Right.
Houston didn't tell him.
Wow.
David writes in.
See, that's when I get mad at you.
How will Revis's teammates like him flashing a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots logo on it? Don't the Jets fans hate the fact he helped us cement our legacy just that much more?
Nobody flashes those things.
You know who doesn't really care about a lot, but the biggest word, most overused word is legacy. I don't think these, that's something that happens way after the fact. Right. I don't think that people care as much about that as fans talk about it, I'll tell you that.
And by the way, that might be part of it too. You know, he said, I want to finish where I started and all that. Maybe he is looking at legacy, and he wants to be a Jet. If you play 4 years in New England, you're not a Jet anymore, right?
That's true.
Now you've played 2 years outside of New York, but you're going to sandwich your career with, 6-3. You're a Jet. I'm not saying, Fred, I don't get it myself, why you'd want to be a Jet. Let's be
play like a Jet today. What does that mean, lose?
Right. We haven't won since 3. 3. We're up to where they're changing it to the big number 50, and we haven't won since 3.
Right. Jim from Ace Ticket. I'm not happy about losing Revis, but I'm happy about the reason we lost him. I think he's an amazing player, an obvious Hall of Famer, but he was just way too expensive for the Patriots to pay him. I'm happy that we at least tried our best to keep him. Would have loved to see the guy back, but I never really got my hopes up. So
I can't add that one. But
Adam in Oakland on Revis, I would have paid 16 per and could have been talked into 18 a year or two. I'm no ledge jumper, but I'm with Andy, disappointed that we aren't set to charge into the season as the clear favorites. I do love that Revis's only ring will have a big Patriots logo on it. To have an effective defense, now we have to have a much, much better pass rush. My question is, can Vince Wilfork or a Wilfork-type player be part of an elite pass rush? Could we be transitioning into a different type of D-line now that our backfield is in shambles and we have some real talent in our linebacking core? Still hopeful you all are out my direction. He's in Oakland, so he wants to see us in February.
I do, too. I wanted to, but I've moved on.
A gap.
I might have to, just plan a vacation to get out there.
Dylan in Orlando, with the re-signing of McCurdy and Revis leaving, do you see McCurdy moving back to corner? I feel they will draft a corner and move Devin back while finding a safety alongside Chung. I also like the move with signing the pass rusher from Cleveland. On offense, I see Harvin and a big-name back like Reggie Bush coming in. I would love to hear your thoughts on this.
Andy? I would take Reggie Bush.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Bush and Harvin, right?
No,
probably
one of the other.
One
the
other.
And I would rather have Reggie Bush.
But they are not the same. I've seen people try to paint him as a pass-catching running back. That's not what he is.
No, he's more of a wide receiver.
Harvin
is more of a wide receiver who can serve as a running back.
You get a little Randall Cobb, Aaron Hernandez out of him.
Yes.
On the field.
What was the beginning of that? I had something I wanted to comment on in the beginning of that.
McCourty back to safety.
McCourty back to safety.
I mean, back to corner. Yeah.
McCourty from safety. if everybody is right about safeties, there's no good safeties in the league. I mean, how many times have you heard McCourty is a great safety? I mean, who's better? There's no good safeties in the league. Well, doesn't that make safeties harder to find? If that's true?
Yeah.
If that's true and there are no good safeties in the league,
it would stand to reason.
Couldn't you make an argument that, well, geez, safeties must be hard to find then? So you have a good one in McCourty.
Why would
there are a lot of good cornerbacks in the league. Maybe they're not as hard to find. Now, I'm obviously being a little bit sarcastic
Your
here.
Logic is not terrible,
but it's
wrong, and
I know
what you're doing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm playing a little devil's advocate with myself.
No, I know.
But, I mean, cornerback is a more difficult position to play, and obviously it's harder to find really good ones at that spot. And I'm sort of dismissing the whole there aren't any good safeties in the league argument. Because I do believe that there are good safeties in the league, and McCourty's one of them.
I actually think the numbers are very similar. I think there are 3, 4, 5 elite at both positions.
Safeties are the guard of the defensive back.
And I don't corners agree. Are the tackle. I don't agree with that. Well, okay, if you want to make that analogy, okay. I think that guard is a lot easier to fill than safety.
Blink, blink.
Brandon in Maine. Red Bryant just got released. Would he be a Patriots option?
Well, they've been in love with him for years.
This will be the time.
Yep.
He's probably
done.
Probably D-U-N, so this would be the time.
But no, they're looking for
defensive
tackles.
They have looked at
tackles.
Him.
They've wanted him, yes. And he's available.
And
so,
I saw that on Twitter a while ago, and they have
connect all the dots.
Absolutely been interested in him in the past, and it would make sense.
All right, we go 3 hours.
That's going
to
be it for this
edition.
You
want to go another hour?
John Rook will take
Pat
the
Bowen
emails that
know
we didn't
reading.
Get to next June.
I was actually surprised.
I was like, John Rook's doing a special show?
People weren't happy. They said, are we taking emails today?
We did take a few.
Not many.
If you guys want to stay and do another hour, that's fine. I have work to do.
No, because the show is not anywhere near as
so do you, right? Don't we have a newspaper to put out?
Yes.
All right. All right, so we will be back on Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.